Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Rob and Akiva need a podcast, and they need your help. Can you make it onto the wheel? Rob and Akiva need a podcast. Yeah, they'll buy themselves your ideas. They'll talk about it till you've got it, you'll feel. Every weekend, better attend. You can guess what will be coming up next. Rob and Akiva need a podcast.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. Rob and Akiva need a podcast, episode 179, face-off time. How's it going, everybody? Rob Sesternino here, joined by my man Akiva, as always. Akiva, how are you?
Can I just say, Rob, you sound great, as always.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, I was drinking my lemon tea before I came on here. It was actually a peach tea. I could drink peach tea for hours.
Everyone knows that about you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited because we've got a very special guest for Renap this week. Of course, we're talking about the hit action movie Face Off, in which Nicolas Cage and John Travolta switch faces. No one who enjoys Nicolas Cage more in the greater RHAP family than this guy. Let's bring him in. Coming to you live from a grocery store, it's Josh Wigler.
Hey, Akiva and Rob, how are you? I'm very excited to talk about the Face Off. We'll talk about first. We'll talk about the face. You need that's the first part. Mm-hmm. You need to talk about the face, and then we're going to talk about the off. Mm-hmm. Both parts.
The spread.
Maybe we'll face on.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. we will do all of the many faces. There was once a guy in Westeros that he had a million faces. Didn't really ever get explained.
Classic Wiggler can't stop talking about Game of Thrones even when it's not on. That's how you know that's Josh Wiggler on the line.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah,
I thought it was the many face. That guy had a million faces. That's a lot of faces.
He had a lot of faces. He had a lot of faces. He could like put.
They never explained how many.
He
in
had
addition
a lot
to,
of
like...
faces, but a man has no name. I think was the way that that broke down.
No name. No name. Yeah.
No name. 26. That was my AOL screen name back in the day.
What was it?
No name. 26.
Wow.
I couldn't think of a name when they're like, "What do you want your name to be?" In like 1997. Yeah.
I definitely was trying not to interact with you in any AOL chat rooms. Stay away from that guy.
I think you were trying to preserve your identity, but also giving away like your birth date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you're asking to be caught.
Time out. I wasn't protecting my identity. No one had the real name in the late 90s on AOL. It was considered like nobody did it. It was advised not to even.
Speak for yourself. I got Rob Sesternino 26 when I was back on AOL.
There's no way that would have been available by 97 it would have been available.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to have to type in that ASLN to tell me your age, sex, location, and name.
And name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
because nobody used their real name.
No. Yeah, and then people thought that you were Aslan from the Chronicles of Narnia. Oh, no, I definitely just added myself as Josh Wiggler. Oh, no.
We had them fooled.
The jig is up.
We had them fooled for so long, and now you blew it. Josh, oh, what man. An honor to have
Bob
you
would
back
never
here.
Do a Narnia. Never do a Narnia.
Never, never. Yeah. Such an honor to have you here back to talk about another 90s movie on Renap.
Yeah, a strange beat that's forming over here. Although I think, the Super Mario movie, whether you're going to call, I don't think you can really call that a cult classic, probably ultimately, because it is just so reviled. Face Off is like,
yes,
maybe a cult classic, but it's a pretty big cult.
Drop the cult, keep the classic.
I think that's right. I think that's right. This is a highly beloved film. Mm-hmm. This is an absolute masterpiece of the Nicolas Cage action movie au revoir.
Mm-hmm.
Josh, yeah. Did you know you're in the Renap Five Timers Club?
Whoa, really? Is this my fifth time?
This might even be your sixth. I don't know. Oh, someone made a list and you were in the Five Timers Club.
Do
already.
Guest appearance, like do like game appearances count? Like if I'm like,
if it's like a full episode
on, like,
game.
The Stinger?
I think yes. I think yes. Yeah. I think that does count. It's an argument, but I some people say
counts. That doesn't feel right to me.
Like, I don't think that counts, but I think if you're like, if you're on the episode the whole time, I think it counts, but I don't think the Master Napper counts.
Do I get half credit if I dip before mailbag and then that?
Yes, yeah, you still get credit.
That counts. That's a whole appearance.
That's a whole appearance. Yeah, we don't hold that against people.
Well, what an honor to be a part of the Five Off club. mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yeah, you get a hat eventually.
Oh gosh, you know I love a hat. This is great mm-hmm. news.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You don't really get a hat.
No, you get a hat. I just have to set. I gotta. I'll. You know.
He just has to send them. Yeah.
I just have to send them.
You get them. He just has to get them. And
Josh, have you not gotten your hat yet?
No, I haven't got my hat yet.
You must have given me the wrong address.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll contact you after the. If it's not too late, could you actually, instead of giving me a hat, could you just get me like a cardboard printout of Rob's face that I could then wear over my face on my next podcast?
No, T-Bird already asked for that a while back, and then I don't even know what she was used that for.
Oh, that's terrifying.
I think she
like,
flies
just
with
like
that.
Out there, sort of like a cliffhanger. You don't know what she's doing with the face.
She used
yet.
It in one of her hype videos mm-hmm. that T-Bird makes like a pretty like huge production like hype video for every podcast that she does. It's really amazing.
It makes us look pretty like big dummies and lazy mm-hmm. people when, you know, our podcast, I never make any videos like, hey, this week we're watching, you know, the Super Mario movie and. No video at all.
She really should be on TikTok. I don't know what she's doing. I gotta tell her to like get on the right platform.
TikTok T-Bird it writes itself. Yeah, that's absolutely T-Bird. A thing that absolutely has to happen. 100%.
Akiva, we haven't mentioned where I'm recording.
Yeah,
this
we buried the lead. We buried the lead, and we don't mean Nick Travolta, Nick Cage, and John Travolta.
No, they're still alive as of this recording. We have not buried either of them yet, nor have we dragged them over the course of talking about this movie. I mentioned it very quickly that Josh Wiggler coming to you live from a grocery store is half true. Part of it was mm-hmm. true.
Yeah.
What's going on, Rob? How you doing? What's your setup like today?
So, yeah, here's my setup. Okay. It is currently Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time. And around 6:30 last night, I lost internet at my house. And I live, for people who follow the show closely, that I live in the woods and I have no cell service at my house. And so I have been without internet service. I was able to drive to a location to watch this film on my phone earlier today. And currently, I am set up outside of my local Wegmans and using the Wegmans
Wi-Fi. You take a
Wi-Fi.
Picture for the listeners?
Yeah, I just sent it to you on WhatsApp, Akiva.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. I didn't. Listen, I'm focused fully on the podcast. I'm not checking my other platforms.
Maybe I'll
here.
Put an Instagram story out there about good. That. This but yeah, good. So I can give you the updates of any of the shoppers coming in and out. And
can we have a couple? You think you could get a shopper on the podcast with us?
I don't know. Ooh. I don't know.
This is good. This is like some live the on end. The ground field.
At the
boarding.
End, we'll try it in the mail. Well, what about we got a mailbag pitch from them?
So, cool. I am wearing my Renap t-shirt also. So maybe if there's a Renap listener that comes along, I will bring them in live and see if they have a mailbag pitch. But I don't want to harass any of the people and get potentially banned from my local haunt, the Wegmans that I go to a couple times a week.
This is why the face-off technology would be so useful to have IRL, because you could just show up to your local Wegmans right now in sort of your disjointed Wi-Fi situation wearing my face, and then you'd get kicked out for like haranguing the customers and trying to get them on the podcast.
Yeah, who cares? But it would just be Josh.
They would never know it was you.
Josh, in 2022, a face-off would be so impractical because you could not unlock your iPhone.
True. Yeah,
think about
that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah, you have to type in the PIN code every single time.
Oh, I don't use face technology. I use the fingerprint, but I guess that's an Android.
Oh, okay.
Well, is the fingerprint back? Does the Android use the facial scan? Because then I do think an instrumental part of this is like just get an Android or a non-iPhone phone.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will be, I think that's a great point. You will get busted. You don't want that. That's not
Can
good.
We get Rob something from the Wegmans? Can we like DoorDash something to like right outside the store?
Why would you DoorDash? You have the Wegmans is right here.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying like we how are you going to go? You're going to like leave your
We could
your,
order something for Rob.
I'm on Wi-Fi, baby. Like can go right
do
in.
Do you want to go in like can we send you in the store?
I think you get arrested. Yeah, I think
You think they have Coke Zero in there?
I mean, it is a Wegmans. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I have a thought. I have a thought. I feel like we could order a pickup order for you at the local Wegmans. You can get up at some point during the podcast, put your camera on, and put ours on as well. And then, like, you can go into the store and get your pickup order. And if anybody, like, shows up to, like, take your computer, Akiva and
we're
I
will just,
like, point at the screen and, like, shame, we see your face.
Yeah. As long as they don't close the laptop, they will be very shamed.
Yeah.
But why don't we get into the face-off of it all?
Mm-hmm. Can I ask how this happened? How did face-off end up on the wheel? Do I understand, Rob, you've never seen it until today?
I had never seen it before today. Akiva, had you seen it?
Yeah, I had definitely seen it. You know, My wife tried to say to me,
oh, we've seen that. I'm like, I haven't. She's like, yes,
what
we did. We saw it. I'm like, that wasn't me. I don't know who you watched face off with.
A different person wearing Rob's face.
There
might be a lot of people out there with the Rob Sesternino cardboard face cut out. This is scary now. Yeah. This is a frightening
That's textbook gaslighting.
Watching movies was all they did with my wife. Yeah.
We watched face off.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Like, look, trust me, that wearing my face, not the right move.
Okay. Oh, no.
Yeah, so I'd seen it. And Rob is usually pretty good at having seen classic 90s stuff, so I was a little surprised, but you know, everyone has blind spots. And
what were you
Rob
doing never... in what was it, 97?
Well, Rob, have you seen Con Air and The Rock?
No, I haven't seen Con Air. I saw The Rock, I didn't see Con Air, and I know this is like the big Nick Cage, Josh Wigler classics,
listen, I'm already under fire for we did the top 10 Nicolas Cage movies of all time for post show recaps a couple of months ago, in anticipation of the unbearable weight of massive talent, which is the Nicolas Cage movie where Nicolas Cage plays Nicolas Cage, and it's very, very steeped in the lore of Face Off and Con Air and The Rock, all movies that I am intimately familiar with. I would actually say of those three, Face Off is third position for me personally, but they're all great in their own right.
Well, Rob's
they're
never seen Con Air, so if this goes well, we could watch Con Air with them.
I do feel like you gotta complete the trilogy. But also, I haven't seen Raising Arizona, and I got yelled at really hard for that.
Oh, my God.
I still haven't fixed that. I still haven't fixed that. So I'm not here to throw stones.
Are you interested in ranking the top John Travolta movies of all time?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No. No interest. None. Mm-mm.
No, that might be, I think that might be a fun list, Akiva.
Yeah, that would be fun. It's funny because Josh is a Cage fan, and I'll say right off the bat, I've always liked Travolta better than Nicolas Cage.
Oh, interesting.
I love this. What's your big John Travolta thing? Like, what is it about Travolta that gives you chills? They're multiplying.
Well, Josh, I don't know if you know this but I'm a huge Welcome Back, Kotter fan.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like an OG. I mean, it's well before I was born, but an OG, you know, Travolta guy from his original, like, starring role.
Yeah, I never did
one of my favorite shows.
Vinny Barbarino guy.
Barbarino, that's my guy. That's my guy.
That's his name, Vinny Barbarino?
Yeah, Vinny Barbarino.
Yeah.
Up your nose with a rubber hose, Josh.
Is that what he says?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a line in the catchphrase from the show. Up your nose with a rubber hose.
Yeah. Akiva, I feel like Gabe Kaplan used to come up far more on the Seinfeld post-show recap, mm-hmm. and I don't know why.
I don't know why either. He was never on Seinfeld, but yeah, he hasn't come up recently.
Do you think that you two, now that you're on, you're long on the other side of the Seinfeld podcast, and I know that there was once upon a time some Bubble Boys talk, but if you were
almost a year ago.
If you were ever to, if you were ever to deign entertain the conversation of doing another episodic television recap, what about Welcome Back, Cotter? Would you like do like a full Welcome Back, Cotter deep dive?
I think like, I'm trying to think if we could get 10 listeners for that.
Probably.
We have
you can get 10.
A quorum. Would we have a minion of listeners?
A few
for that?
People will just lazily like download the episode because they're not going to unsubscribe from the feed. They'll never listen, but your downloads will be okay.
I think we could get Gabe Kaplan at least like once a season on that, to be honest.
And really, the problem with that, Josh, is that our key demo, I don't think, knows how to download a podcast.
Yeah, it's true.
At that point, yeah.
It's difficult. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Right. Well, what are we going to do here? And we should have had a production meeting before the podcast.
Well, you were
Ed Wegman. You were picking up strawberries or something.
If anybody, and I'm talking to you, Renap subreddit, if anybody ever questions my dedication to this podcast, ever again,
would have been so easy.
I'm
for this
sitting
guy.
At a Wegman's and check the temperature right now. Okay,
what is it?
Yeah. I mean, it's over 90 degrees outside, and I don't even want to hazard to guess the humidity.
Rob, would you say that you're currently sweating your, wait for it, face off?
Yeah, not yet. Well, huh? I am in the shade, but if the sun ends up in an unfavorable position, that could the computer could overheat.
Could melt your face off.
Yeah. But anyway, so... are we doing like a straight up recap or are we going to talk about like what was the plausibility, implausibility of the film?
I think all of that, all of the above. I think we should start with like your takes and we should go over the movie and explain it to people who have never seen it.
And I do just want to, now that the full room is assembled, I do just want to pitch what I pitched previously to Akiva before we started is like, should we just like scrap talking about Face Off and have the podcast be a Face Off podcast that accidentally switches with Supermarket Sweep? And you just call it Face Off, but it's
what if we gave
podcast.
You like could you if we gave you 60 seconds do you think you could buy $100 worth of groceries actually now that would be very easy
easy. Grab like one item off the shelf.
You could go to the express line.
Everything costs $100 now.
Let's maybe save the supermarket hijinks right for the end, just in case I get arrested and the whole rest of the podcast in the can. Mm-hmm.
All right, you want to do like a tight 30 on Face Off then?
If I do get arrested, I feel like I think I can break my way out of the jail if necessary after watching the film.
They're not going to have the riot boots where you're at, I don't think. So you're going to be fine. Yeah. You'll be all right.
Can we start off with, does Face Off take place in an alternate universe?
Huh. This is a good question. I think the answer to this has to be yes.
Why? Why do you think it's yes? I'm curious why.
Because, Akiva, it's 1997, and with lasers, they're growing ears in Petri dishes that they're going to apply to a guy who just got his ear shot off. We're also dealing with people who have their faces surgically removed and placed on each other's faces.
And you're saying you couldn't do that in 1997?
They're doing that. They can do it now for sure. Oh. Face Off is absolutely
so. You think this movie's
now.
Like 2022? Basically.
Yes, yes. I think that Face Off, like it's like aspirational future stuff, which like it's kind of impressive how much they did call accurately as to where the science would go. But in 1997, like we don't have the ability to like modify people's jaw lines and like restore their jaw lines is probably the most impressive part. You know, getting John Travolta down to Nicolas Cage is like nothing, but getting Nicolas Cage back up to John Travolta is like a feat.
Just the body sculpt thing that I can answer
Rob's question a little bit.
Yeah.
So John Woo, the great John Woo, who directed this movie, who worked with Nicolas Cage a bunch, Broken Arrow.
Yeah,
Broken Arrow is a that's a classic John Travolta movie. I mean, Broken Arrow, I think is
excuse me, John Travolta, movie. not he worked with both of them a bunch.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, I don't mean to correct the John Travolta fan on the podcast.
Are gonna have a field day with that one.
You know, you come out here saying you're a John Travolta fan, and you don't get that it Broken Arrow is like John Travolta's best.
More like Stolen Valor for John Travolta.
Anyway, the movie was written as a futuristic movie, and John Woo wanted to make it a present movie. So I think he probably kept in the face off part, playing it straight up. But the, you know, the rest of the movie takes place in 1997. But like that aspect was supposed to be futuristic. I think that's the answer.
Interesting.
Because well, it's not played as a future year at all. There's nothing, there's no flying cars. You know, there's nothing futuristic outside of that.
There's there's like a great tension underneath that of like, yeah, this is like a future concept, but I don't want to make a future movie. And so like, you just completely take out this like scientific, you know, plot line, like this really like sci-fi storyline of mapping someone's face onto another person's head that like totally doesn't make sense at all. And then just like trying to fit that into the world of 1997. Right. Like these two things like mix together very awkwardly. But I also think that like the severe 90s-ness of Face Off is such an important part of why this movie is like utterly ridiculous and a total ride to go through.
I do think that they could have like covered this up plot wise and said that this is like part of like a secret government program that they have and the public isn't aware. But they just made it sound like, oh, this is like the top plastic surgeon that's out there right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a real shame what happens to that guy, too. Killed for being an expert in his field. Did I spoil it? Or are we? I think this is full spoilers, right?
Yeah, full spoilers. We'll spoil the entire film.
Could you imagine somebody is 19 minutes into this podcast and then complains that we spoiled Face Off for them?
Wait a minute. You're saying that Nicolas Cage and John Travolta swap faces in the movie? You just said that without a spoiler warning?
Yeah. One of my one of my favorite facts is that the movie is spelled Face slash Off, right?
Yes.
Backlash. Yeah. Why is that?
John Woo did not want people to think it was a hockey movie.
Yeah.
So we put that in there.
Well, the slash is very helpful for that.
It wouldn't be Face Off, because otherwise everyone would assume they were going to basically the Sudden Death 2 or, you know, the Mighty Ducks 4
or whatever. Sudden Death would be a good name for this movie also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not as good as Face Off.
A lot of Sudden Deaths.
Yeah.
Spoiled.
Yeah. Wow. But Face slash Off. Then you would never think it was a hockey movie.
No, because I'm sure you thought the whole week we were going to watch some puck this week on Renette.
Did you have one about
really no sports at all in this movie?
Yeah.
Did you have any sense of what Face Off was coming into Face Off, and how did like your expectations meet reality when you watched Face Off and on your phone at a pool when you were searching for Wi-Fi?
For me, I think I pretty much understood what I was getting into. I feel like that maybe I was not expecting quite as much major action in the film. I feel like that sort of like the action sequences were probably bigger than I anticipated, but you know, I'm not a huge action guy. I much preferred the parts of the film that were dealing with the practicalities of the faces off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. That was, you know, to me, that was more interesting and thought-provoking than, you know, 1997's biggest action sequences.
Yeah, with, like, doves being released into an open-air arena with two people fighting each other with two guns in hand, John Woo's signature style. That just wasn't as much your jam as like what it might be like existentially to like wear your worst enemy's face around and have everyone not believe that you are who you actually are, and you actually start to become your worst enemy, kind of.
Yes. I much enjoyed that part of the film.
Yeah.
Now, Josh, you didn't watch this movie when it came out. I assume you're a little too young, right?
No, I absolutely did. I absolutely did. As I often say, Terminator 2, watched that in theaters. Way too young to see Terminator 2 in theaters. But like at that point, Genie was out of the bottle. There was just like no world where my parents could like refute that I can now go and see R-rated movies. So I for sure saw Face Off when it came out. 100%. Was it rated R or was it a PG-13?
Oh, no, this is a rated R. I mean,
I got to think this is rated R.
This is a very rated R movie.
Yeah, gotta imagine it's an R. But yeah,
after Troy kills 20 people.
There's a possibility, a strong possibility, I would say, that like it was like a blockbuster rental as opposed to a theatrical viewing. But I definitely watched it very close to when Face Off came out.
Within the first year, yeah. So I remember this came out between after eighth grade for me, but before ninth grade started. And I remember like a couple of my friends. Like, we were always quoting this movie. There was a lot of like, no more drugs for that man. That was a popular line. And like,
whoa,
the idea that you know, like Nicolas Cage has this like briefcase with like Tic Tacs or whatever is in there, and like guns Chiclets. And Chiclets, and like he was like the coolest guy in the world. Like, you know, all like the punks really loved, in as many, you know, punks as I was hanging out with between eighth and ninth grade in my Jewish summer camp or whatever. Like,
yeah,
the, you know, like thought he was the coolest person in the world and were constantly quoting Nicolas Cage the whole summer. Even though, again,
oh, I see, I thought you were talking about the punks that like were of the underworld that worked for Nicolas Cage thought he was cool because he had a briefcase with Chiclets.
Well, them too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was really like, you know, pretty culturally like, Nicolas Cage was like the coolest guy in the world in this movie with the tiny sunglasses.
Very well,
this
tiny.
This was a huge Nicolas Cage moment that we're in with Face Off, because Con Air's got to be, if not 97, real
the same
close.
Month. They come out the same month, I think, which is nuts.
He has like a
summer
really,
of Cage.
It was the summer of Cage.
He has a really wild moment because The Rock is shortly. Yeah. Before, I think The Rock is 96, maybe. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that like, there is this like action, like he's an Oscar winning actor at this point. And, you know, Nicolas Cage in a lot of interviews, I think like we'll talk about how, you know, just he's maybe people don't know he's related to Francis Ford Coppola. He comes from the Coppola line. And like he could have, you know, very easily just been like grandfathered into Hollywood. And like, who knows, like probably a decent amount of that for sure. But he talks
I'm sure
a lot
it was just
about
a coincidence.
How, yeah. He wants to make his own mark. Right. Like he's trying to do his own thing. And I think like he moves into like this very different vibe for a little while here in the late 90s, where he's like really in on extremely ridiculous Bruckheimer, Michael Bay style R-rated action. In this movie, like in the two previous movies, in The Rock, he's sort of like a hapless action hero. That's my favorite version of Nicolas Cage, I think. In Con Air, he's just like an undeniable action hero. He's like a paladin hearted, misunderstood ex-con who just wants to go and see his daughter and give her a bunny. And he's like a true blue good guy. And then in this, he is like he's that, but he's also like the supervillain. So like Nicolas Cage gets to do like his extreme Nicolas Cage thing in this movie. That I think makes this like, if you're trying to see like which of these movies is the best movie or which of these movies is the best Nicolas Cage movie, I think that Face Off does have the argument in its favor that it's Nicolas Cage at his most versatile, because he's playing Castor Troy at the start of the movie, who is like an absolutely insane, like Joker style maniac who's doing terrifying, terrible things. And then he's like a really sad and weepy Sean Archer for the second half of the movie. And he's like the straight man all of a sudden. And John Travolta, Kiva's favorite actor, gets to really go wild.
I don't know if Rob knows this.
Yeah.
It might blow his mind.
Okay.
Neither Cage nor Travolta was nominated or won Best Actor for this movie.
For this? By the way. Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it should have been, you know, a mano race there.
Sure. Sure.
They probably should have been co-nominated. Like,
I don't even know like who was, you know, like who should
be. Like you know, the sort of like an Olsen twins of like two people playing the same part.
Yeah. Indistinguishable from one another.
Indistinguishable. Okay. So we talked about how this film and also Con Air came out both in the summer of 1997. And maybe it was the summer of Cage in 1997. But here we are, you know, 25 years later. In the summer of 2022, so it is 25 years since the epic Face Off. But
wow,
we're so many days away
from the exact 25th anniversary of Face Off.
But so many parallels to that summer of 1997. Of course, also in the summer of 1997 was The Lost World, as another Jurassic World is opening up here last weekend. Interestingly, both Men in Black and G.I. Jane came out in the summer of 1997. Reason why those two things are linked. And then Akiva also, Speed 2 Cruise Control, also the summer of 1997. So much fun. Josh, you know, we recapped Speed 1 and 2 recently.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to dig into it, but I hope that you had a lot to say about Willem Dafoe and the Leeches.
The Leeches.
No, we talked about the Leeches.
Yeah, yeah, we were
really,
kind of annoyed.
A really weird character note for Willem Dafoe.
Weird character trait. We were kind of annoyed he didn't kill anybody with the leeches.
Yeah, yeah, that felt like Chekhov's leeches. That never.
That's what we. I think Rob said that even during the.
They're probably waiting for Speed 3 to bring the leeches.
They're playing
back.
The long game. The speed riders are playing the long game.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Long term storytelling.
Speed 3, and I know that you've already done that. Is Jason Patrick's character got one of the Willem Dafoe leeches on him?
Oh,
and as a result, like over the course of 25 or so years, that leech infuses him with Willem Dafoe's actual personality.
Yeah, kind of like a Star Trek II Wrath of Khan sort of situation.
Keanu's the good guy in 3.
We bring Keanu back.
I like it.
And we roast this guy.
I'm one of those Star Wars guys camping out. You know,
we burned Jason Patrick to the ground. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was one of our ideas, basically, where not to recap that whole podcast, where Sandra and Keanu got back together and Jason Patrick is jilted. And then
that's
is
a good
the guy.
Too. Yeah.
But
do you think
going,
that a face-off between Keanu Reeves and Jason Patrick would have worked better, more plausibly than John Travolta and Nicolas Cage?
Nobody cares enough about Jason Patrick.
Yeah.
So sad for Jason Patrick.
Can I ask, so if 1997 was the summer of Cage, Akiva, you have your finger on the pulse. Who is having the summer of 2022?
Question. I mean, I think it's still a little open-ended.
Yeah.
Summer of 2022.
Any front runners? Is it Josh Wiggler?
It definitely could be. Summer hasn't even started. We're still a couple days away. Who is like the person of the summer? That's a good question.
Well, let's keep it. Let the listeners weigh in.
Yeah, we got 3 months for people to weigh in.
Maybe that's who we should give the Generation Award to.
Yeah, people love
the person
the
who's the.
Gun.
Yeah, we could do that.
Maybe. It's, yeah. Maybe
you think it's gonna be Tom Cruise?
Wow.
Yeah.
In 2022,
he brought movie theaters back. Him and Nicole Kidman, ironically enough, the two of them.
Interestingly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye on that. Josh, Rob, can you maybe like give us a little bit of a recap, a summary of the movie, and we could get into the stuff we want to get into. I'd like to hear your take on what happened in this film.
This is a good I would love to just like yes and that too. So Nicolas Cage is the star of Gone in 60 Seconds. Rob, do you think that you could Rob in 60 Seconds explain what happens in Face Off?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see. Let me just open up my. You want to have a timer and then you check me?
I can have my eye on the timer. We could start in 15 seconds and then we'll be in a really perfect spot.
Right.
So you can warming up. Okay. Mouth exercises if you want.
I'm good, but I'm not going to remember any character names. Okay.
That's totally fine. You could just talk about actors.
We could get into the character names after.
Okay. All right. Tell me when.
Go.
Okay. John Travolta had a kid that got shot by Nick Cage with a sniper rifle. Not really sure why he did that, but he had a thing against John Travolta. John Travolta, very upset. You know, he lost his kid. He makes it his life's work to take down Nick Cage. He almost gets him, but there's like a terrorist plot that they still have to uncover. So while Nick Cage is seemingly apprehended, he's in a coma. They say, okay, you're going to go deep undercover, Donnie Brasco style, and you are going to go ahead and they're going to put his face on you. So you go into the jail, but he goes into the jail unbeknowingly to Travolta. Nick Cage wakes up from the coma, then puts Travolta's face back on, and then lives his life as Travolta as the cop, and then makes sure that Nick Cage was never going to get out. Nick Cage breaks out of the jail, he's really John Travolta, and gets back and comes in, thwarts John Travolta, who is playing the Nick Cage character.
In Under the Wire, we had a yada yada, like
the back half. But
I think that that's right. I think that you can yada yada the back half. Like, a lot of that is just like fun, ridiculous moments of having these two actors playing the other actor's original character. And inevitably, it works out that... Well, who really wins, Akiva? Nicolas Cage or Nicolas Cage? It's hard to say.
Yeah. You know what's amazing? I mean, first of all, it's one of my favorite Wikipedias to read because half it's like, Archer is Troy. Troy is Archer. Like, it's very confusing to read. If you're one of these Wikipedia people that just, like, doesn't watch the movie and tries to figure out what's happening, it's pretty confusing. I don't know if you were confused at any point. I think also, like, the idea
was
that...
Was I confused or were people confused by my description?
Were you confused? No, you're confused.
I was never confused the whole movie. Yeah.
I love the idea that, like, John Travolta has this, like, huge surgery, And then Nicolas Cage just shows up like, oh, yeah, now everyone can get the surgery. He just shows up as John Travolta at one point in the movie.
Mm-hmm. I think that the part where Nicolas Cage wakes up from the coma after Nicolas Cage's face has been put onto John Travolta, turning John Travolta into Nicolas Cage. And then Nicolas Cage is wearing his own faceless face. And you see his like faceless face reflection in the surgeon's glasses. Is one that of those haunting images that I'll never get rid of. They do a lot of tasteful, like sort of like blurred out looks at the faceless faces.
It's a tasteful movie.
This is very tasteful.
Yeah,
it's taste off. Film. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Ooh, taste off. We could do that at the store that you're at.
Yeah, we could do a taste off right now.
Wegmans get, like, has five yogurts and have you try yogurt. Josh, highly recommend.
Of course. Yeah, I love a Wegmans. Rob, I do actually have a related question. What did the denizens of Wegmans think of you talking about Face Off when you did that in 60 seconds? Was anyone looking at you strangely?
Nobody's just looking at me. It's pretty like vacant over here.
No one's looked at you yet?
No, I mean, it's seemingly not. If they are, they're doing it very, very slyly.
Okay.
If anybody comes up to you, say, how about those prices, huh? I feel like that's very topical, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
I'm doing a podcast to pay for groceries, you tell them.
Yeah,
it's a good call.
Maybe I have to tell them that, like, if anybody comes over here from the store, we'll just say that this is like a supermarket review podcast, and mm-hmm. so then they'll be afraid to give me the business. So if they hear that,
that would
I'm
be good.
About
supermarket review podcast. Yeah, come down, tell us what you think about Wegmans. That's good. You said mm-hmm. you weren't going to get into the name, so Travolta is Sean Archer, but more interestingly, Nicolas Cage originally, before he switches faces, is Castor Troy, a great sort of like villainous movie name, and his brother is Pollux Troy, Pollux.
Yes. I think lost in the shuffle of like sort of like the grander umbrella view of Face Off. Like the first things that come to mind in Face Off is that this is the movie where John Travolta and Nicolas Cage wear each other's faces. Okay, fair. Totally understandable that that's the first thing that comes to mind. But I think then you're missing two other really important salient points. One, this is also a movie where there's a prison where people wear magnet boots. And I think we should mm-hmm. talk about that. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is that secretly the best performance and character in this entire movie is Alessandro Nivola as Pollux Troy. This is a man who just goes, I'm Pollux Troy and I just have a nasty little secret. I just have a tiny little dirty secret that I don't want to tell you about. He does this weird little, like, puckish, strange little goblin thing that makes him, like, the weirdest character in this movie, which mm-hmm. should not be possible when you have John Travolta and Nicolas Cage wearing each other's faces. Yeah. They should be the weirdest characters in the movie.
Now, you said that Pollux Troy has a secret, Josh, and I think I know what it is.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
I think that, like Akiva, I don't think Pollux Troy can tie shoes.
Oh, that's right. Nicolas Cage ties his shoes for him in the movie. That's
true. Is Akiva, is that like what Mara has to do in the morning?
Oh my God. Look at this guy. Take him to Wegmans once. He's roasting people.
Oh man. Did you know, Rob, that Pollux Troy is Dickie Moltisanti from the Many Saints of Newark?
Oh, I had no idea.
Same guy. And let me tell you something else, that Pollux Troy also appears as one of the most important main characters in Jurassic Park 3. To bring this back to another Jurassic
when you
Park
say it's a Jurassic Park.
The first three or the second three?
Yeah.
The first third three. The first time they did a Jurassic Park 3, he was like Sam Neill's like assistant. And he's like briefly a traitor. I'm spoiling it. He's like briefly a traitor. And then at the end, he's like, I've had a change of heart. I shouldn't have been a bad guy.
Does he always whisper?
No.
He doesn't whisper.
I just like to imagine.
He wasn't whispering in Many Saints of Newark.
No. He was hamming it up.
Some Hoboken whispers, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's just a very versatile actor, you know, he's capable of a lot of things. I think it's very easy to come in here and be like, wow, Nicolas Cage and John Travolta, two of the greatest talents of our time. But mm-hmm. I think like
maybe
we're sleeping
best,
on
yeah.
Alessandro Nivola here. And also, obviously, Gina Gershon, who's just incredible in this movie.
But what do you think about, I agree, this is peak Gina Gershon. She just came off of Bound. That's where he found her and cast her from.
Homeward Bound?
No, the movie. Rob, don't pretend you never saw Bound in the 90s, please.
I never saw Bound. I never even heard.
All right.
Have you two done Homeward Bound yet?
Is that
an incredible journey?
Not.
Yeah, I think that you should go straight to Homeward Bound 2. Love mm-hmm. to know what you think about Shadow and Chance and Sassy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good podcast.
Yeah, Robin and Kiva are Homeward Bound.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Mm-hmm. We are usually bound for home. Yeah, we're usually at home. I think...
Or Robin and Kiva go on the incredible journey.
Yeah.
I do feel bad for Joan Allen in this movie because there is a real trope in the 90s of sort of what they called like the wet blanket girlfriend. You know, like they're just like a downer and everything. And Joan Allen's role is brutal in this movie. Like, no offense to Joan herself, but this is not a real role you can.
She's a tremendous actor. Like, she's highly accomplished, incredible actor who is like given this sort of thankless job.
Very thankless. Being
like, I can't believe that you're still out there trying to get revenge for the assassination of our son. Mm-hmm. This is just like an unbelievable thing that you're still out here doing. Mm-hmm. It's not the most enjoyable character in the movie for sure.
Yeah, it's like they just gave her one note, like just be the biggest hater you could imagine.
I often just feel horrible for everyone involved in the Archer household, though. When it's evil John Travolta, man, evil John Travolta in the Archer home. This is a sick dude. This is a pretty sick guy. It's just very bad behavior from this man.
Oh, very bad. Yeah. I think that they were probably like, hey, like dad got his groove back.
Yeah.
I mean, that's they were like when he comes back and now, you know, it's Nicolas Cage just with his face. I mean, they only switch faces, right? They didn't switch any other part of their body or anything like that.
That's, I think, worth a discussion.
Do you want to lead that one?
Well, I mean, that's really one of my biggest questions from the film of just like how like in depth did they go with altering the anatomy of these two men? Now, look, maybe, you know, they happen to be identical anatomical twins. That's possible. And you might meet your identical anatomical twin and never know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone to be like, hey, can we just check if we're identical anatomical twins?
And really, and it begs the question of like, you know, was the whole face-off technology really just a front for the, you know, highly convincing anatomical augmentation?
Do you want to quickly call Dr. Mike into the conversation or should I?
Sure. Let me text Dr. Mike and ask him if he ever watched the movie Face Off.
He absolutely has. Yes. And I hope he's available.
And then ask him some follow-up questions.
We're not going to be able to get him on the call, but I'm just going to text him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Cool.
Because Mrs. Archer was like, you know, did not suspect anything was amiss.
Mm-hmm. No, she didn't. And that's definitely important information. And
she seems to like Nicola, you know, Travolta. I mean, Cage as Travolta way better.
Yeah.
Like it appeared. I don't want to like put, you know, it from what we see about their marriage. They did it once 18 years ago, had a daughter and have like not been in the same room.
They did have two kids in the film just for the. Fact check that very, very important plot point. They did have,
that is true.
They did have two children.
That's true.
They
did it twice. They have not been in the same room for 15 years.
They do canonically alter more than just the face, right? Like they talk about like their zapping
body
off,
hair,
the body
they have scars,
hair,
right?
The scar is
belly
very
fat.
Important.
Yeah.
You know, so like if they're
no
if they're,
detail was left untouched,
so you would think that there may be other things aside from the face that came off is possible.
Or on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
They could have switched hands, for example.
Now, Nick Cage. So this is where it gets confusing. So Caster Troy as Archer remarks at one point, I don't know what I hate more, having your face or having your body. And I wonder if that was like a little bit of a burn.
Yeah.
Probably was.
Yeah. Right. Having your body. Yeah. That's interesting. I don't know.
I also want to know how long after the procedure are these two guys like up and about? Like, when, you know, it's a very invasive procedure. And I know that when Nicolas Cage, when Sean Archer as Caster Troy, I think I got that right. So OG John Travolta, now Nicolas Cage, when he's being sent off to prison to infiltrate and get the location of the terrorist attack from Pollux, he complains to his friend that his face itches. And like, that is the most physical pain he seems to be in. So do we think that like months pass after the surgery?
No,
is the science so advanced that this is a totally painless procedure?
Yeah, I think this is outpatient.
Outpatient.
Yeah, they do it pretty quick.
Same day. Wow.
Same day. Because look at when Castor Troy wakes up in Archer's body. I mean, that basically, like, I don't think that he was like recovering for 5 months. I mean, this basically he's got to burn the hospital down by like the end of the day.
Yeah.
No,
so it's an alternate universe for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. Like this confirms alternate universe. If the technology didn't already do it, I think the recovery time absolutely crystallizes that we're in a alternate universe territory here in the hit 1997.
Do you think that humans in general recover faster, or the technology is so advanced that there's just not some sort of like heavy recuperation period after the surgery?
Yeah, I think it has to speak highly of like the human body composition in the alternate universe world of Face Off, that like they can recover as quickly to what can only be described as the most invasive surgery known to man. So I think that, yeah, I think in this alternate universe, it's just like humans are much sturdier and more resilient than we are. Certainly were in 97 and still are in 2022.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. It makes sense. I mean, that I think a great reboot for the IP might be like, where is this Face-Off technology in 2022?
Well, like, this is interesting. Robin Akiva, are you aware that there is, at long last, in development, a Face-Off 2?
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it T-O-O?
Happening. No, not yet. The title,
I don't think they're up to a name.
Look who's talking to another John Travolta
film. In development
film?
For a while. I know that there were new people attached last year. One of these, I'll believe it when I see it type thing.
Will it be another Face-Off story of like, you know, two other actors or actresses? Maybe do actresses in Face-Off too.
Yeah.
Good idea.
So Face-Off 2, as it currently was last left, is in the hands of a filmmaker named Adam Wingard, who I believe made The Guest. Most recently is the filmmaker behind Godzilla versus Kong.
Imagine they had a face-off.
Yeah, they do. Oh, wow. Yeah, can you imagine King Kong and Godzilla switching faces?
Yeah, it's Kong in Godzilla's body and vice versa.
The tell is when Godzilla can't roar fire anymore. They're like, oh, that's King Kong. He can't do it. Can't do his signature move.
You have to believe me.
I'm from Skull Island. I have to get back. I don't know why he's got Nicolas Cage's voice. Adam Wingard, director of Godzilla versus
Kong. You
can't
cage King Kong.
He's gonna make Face Off 2, apparently. There's a script apparently that has already been written. And I remember this very fondly of my brief tenure at Inverse.com. A colleague of mine, Jake Kleinman, did an interview with Adam Wingard and came back bagging quite the scoop about Face Off 2. And the conversation with this would-be director of Face Off 2, he makes it very clear, Adam Wingard says, Face Off is not an empty sci-fi gimmick film to me. I see it as an exciting character study film. It's about Sean Archer and Castor Troy, and that's where we're picking up. We're continuing the Troy and Archer storyline. That's the movie I want to see. So the Face-Off franchise is currently in the hands of somebody who walked away from Face-Off, believing that the real moneymaker of Face-Off is like this epic, mythological, good versus evil battle that dwells specifically within the souls of Castor Troy and Sean Archer.
Yeah,
did he walk away from the same movie that you guys walked away from?
Interesting.
Now, he is dead. Castor Troy also.
Castor Troy is dead. Yeah.
So, he got spear-gunned. He got spear-gunned in the chest.
Interestingly, okay, Castor Troy has a son who then Sean Archer then adopts as his own. And I wonder that could, because I really thought like, boy, someday this is going to be a very complicated story to explain to this young man.
Yes. Yeah. Take him out to Applebee's one night, son.
Mm-hmm. So, we have something to tell you.
Like, you know how I'm not your biological father, right?
Yeah.
Well, Mom never told you that. I shouldn't have led with that then. And you know
how we had a son
mm-hmm.
also.
Before you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, before you. But did you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your dad
mm-hmm.
killed my son.
Okay, so and like, that's not where it gets weird. Okay.
Yeah. And then don't get mad.
We switched bodies.
I killed your dad.
We led with the fact that we switched faces, but mm-hmm. it is important to note that we did switch basically all the important mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we gallivanted around as each other for a time.
Yeah.
And then I killed your dad.
Well,
and your brother.
Well, and your mom also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, rendered your entire whole bloodline house, line.
Yeah. Your uncle. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's unclear, I thought, who shoots Gina Gershon.
Yeah, random chaos, I think. You know,
there's basically a scene. Yeah. It's like everybody's gun is pointed in a different direction. You don't know necessarily who shot the gun that ultimately got Gershon.
Yeah. Listen, I don't want to like besmirch what Adam Wingard views as the central thesis of Face Off and what should be carried over into a Face Off too. But just if we're taking suggestions, if we're still in that stage,
yeah,
I think like it, really exploring who got Gina Gershon would also be fairly compelling for a Face Off too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And interestingly, I wonder maybe could you have like a brain off, like could they just have like Nicolas Cage's brain ends up like in another person's body and you could have like another actor playing Caster Troy?
Oh my God. Wow.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. That's a big brain off right now.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they should do that with a lot of these movies where they can't get the original star. It's like Speed 3. Just say that there was a brain off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It was right there before, but how about wand off?
We should have called it a wand slash off.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? It has multiple meanings.
Yeah, in case anybody thought there was actual wands involved.
Yes. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I think, one of my favorite notes, like I read, you know, I read through all the IMDb stuff and stuff. One of my favorite notes from this movie is Caster Troy, according to his blood test results, his glycohemoglobin, A1C, is much higher than 6.5%. He most likely has diabetes.
Wow.
I like that they're diagnosing him.
Well, oh, my God.
Is it because he eats too many peaches?
More bad news for
I mean, he's eating them for an hour at a time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very obsessed with peaches. We didn't really get into the peaches. It's a little creepy, the peaches.
I do think, actually, that's probably not right, because he says, I can eat a peach for hours. So he's, I mean, this is a just weird one thing to brag about. Yeah. That, mm-hmm, like, over the course of many hours, I will make this one peach last. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, like, it's diminishing.
I think it was
return.
A euphemism, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's.
You think so, Akiva?
Yeah.
I mean, now I'll say, 13-year-old Akiva had just thought he loved fruit.
Yeah.
I never met a girl at this point, so. Other pairs of actors that were considered for the Sean Archer and Caster Troy roles, okay? Schwarzenegger, yes, and Stallone.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm sure this is all
Schwarzenegger and DeVito would have been.
I mean, they did that, but that would have been great.
Yeah.
A twin off?
Yeah, a twin off. Yeah. Harrison Ford and Michael Douglas.
Oh, that's kind of
I feel
of
like
fun.
Neither of them would have been creepy enough.
I don't Bruce think Willis? Neither of them would have been hammy enough is the problem. But yeah. I do think that
Bruce
kind
Willis?
Of like a more serious-minded.
Yeah. Bruce Willis and Alec Baldwin. I mean, RIP to everybody on that set if it's Bruce Willis. Yeah. Pacino and De Niro.
Yeah,
that's
well,
great.
Who would have been who? Go back to is Harrison Ford the Troy?
Who starts as the bad guy? Yeah, it's interesting. I think, mm-hmm, Ford is always the good guy in the 90s.
Ford is Harrison Ford. Not to say like Harrison Ford is bad at anything, but I do think that he kind of sucks as a bad guy. I think that Harrison Ford has tried playing the bad guy a couple of times. It rarely really works.
It's, can I ask you guys a question?
You're just like a highly efficient like protagonist, and that's your job, and you should stay in your lane.
Okay.
In Star Wars, he's a good guy, right?
That's right. Yes.
Okay.
But Pacino kind of a bad boy. Am I right,
nice,
Josh?
Yeah.
Pacino
great
and De Niro.
Bad boy. Tremendous bad boy. Terrible bad guy.
Yeah.
Jean-Claude Van Damme and Steven Seagal. Forget about it. That would have made Willis and Baldwin's set look friendly.
Who's who? Who's the straight
JCVD.
Man?
JCVD. Pacino De Niro is the best one. Pacino De Niro
is a good one, too.
Really, really good.
Yeah, Josh would like that one more than this
I'd
one.
I love that.
Well,
yeah,
the 90s, yeah, yes. Oh, he would have liked the one with the two best actors of, like, the two most beloved actors.
I would love that. And Pacino would
this
be
a good
great
one, 96,
both versions of the character, too. I think, mm-hmm, De Niro maybe a little less, but I think Pacino, for, like, this specific movie, would, mm-hmm, do a tremendous job of playing, like, the really, like, loud, boisterous, flamboyant Caster Troy. And then in my studies of, because Emily Fox and I were still on our quest to watch every single Al Pacino movie ever made, and we're getting really close to the end of the line, so we feel like we can consider ourselves experts in his resume. He really loves to get very close to people. It seems like he takes roles so that he can get close to people sometimes. And one of the things that happens that Sean Archer does a lot in Face Off is how he like touches people's face to tell them he loves them. They just thing, which does not fly in 2022.
Yeah, right. And Josh, yeah, he kind of is doing like a Vulcan mind meld. I know Akiva doesn't know what that is, but it is weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why
just, that like, touches you with
his go-to
move. He fully
move.
Palms you. Yeah, he palms the dip. He palms your face. He just goes all the way. Pacino would have loved that. That would have been a classic Sean Archer move for him. He would have, mm-hmm, tremendously enjoyed that piece of the movie.
For sure.
Yeah. The face thing is very strange.
The other last actor
duo
was...
Your hand off my face.
Yeah, which is weird in a face off that his signature move is a face touch.
Face touch.
Yes. A face on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
Denzel and Wesley Snipes, 1996. I feel like
that's
that would have been
that's
pretty
fun.
Good.
That's fun. Mm-hmm. That's real fun. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Interesting.
Mark Wahlberg turned down the role of Pollux Troy. I can't see Mark Wahlberg whispering the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Pollux did.
Caster, why are you being so mean to me right now?
Why, he had a big 1997.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why are you acting like you
don't
remember what we
said? If he was in this movie, it wouldn't have gone down this way.
No.
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. I think he would have gotten a supporting actor nod, though. I think Wahlberg would have.
Oh, interesting.
I think they would have paid some respect to him that they didn't pay to Alessandro Nivola.
The problem is, I think that they're, as Pollux Troy.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. No, they still, Travolta and Cage still have to co-share the leading actor nom.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. This is an Academy Award nominated movie, though. It is worth pointing out.
Mm-hmm.
That
film
category.
Sound effects editing.
Oh, one of the big ones. The one that they've now relegated probably you know, to
they didn't really
the day
come
before.
Through watching it on my iPhone. Yeah.
Well, that was not really how they intended. You know, this is a big, a big screen movie. This isn't really an iPhone type movie.
Not on the small screen.
This is also a crazy note on IMDb. The role that Gina Gershon ends up playing, Juliana Margulies turned it down. Oh. I feel like would have gone much differently.
Wow. What an offensive category that your best sound effects editing. They didn't even your standard five nominees a category. Only three nominees in the best sound effects editing category.
Maybe it was a bad year for sound.
I don't know if that's just like maybe some of these categories do just like have like thinner pools. I do think that that's right. But look, it's Face Off lost. The Fifth Element was in the mix as well. And of course, Titanic just swept. It swept everything.
It won everything. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just not fair to go up against Face Off against Titanic.
Boy, 97. What a year in movies. Mm-hmm.
We should just watch a lot of 97 movies. That should be our pick.
1997, I feel like, is peak Renap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we love the 90s. That might be our maybe that's what Renap should have been, just 90s stuff every week.
Yeah, I mean, is it not?
Yeah, we've been doing that mostly.
Yeah,
the
play the hits.
Yeah. This is a fun fact. Also, the surgery scene is the only scene in the movie that doesn't have Travolta or Cage. They're just dummies in the hospital.
What did you think, Rob? Did you notice the Travolta Cage dummies during the surgery scene, or did you think those were actually the actors?
You know, I didn't really think about it.
Yeah. Go back and watch it and see if you can tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's subtle. It's very subtle. But they, believe it or not, those are actually dummies that they're using and not the actual actors. You have to watch the scene closely in order to tell the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rob, did you have any other like big takeaways from the movie? Like what were some of the surprising things to you?
Well,
seeing it
I think
that
one of the more surprising things for me was the relationship that Troy as Archer has with the older daughter. It takes a couple of twists and turns because
what happens?
He seems to at times relate to her better than John Travolta as Sean Archer himself.
Yeah, yeah.
In some ways, he is a better dad at times. Has a lecherous, interest romantically is confusing for.
And she's probably
Jamie.
A minor also, to be fair. In addition to being his daughter, technically.
Like Watson Cole.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why like she always has a different look.
Yeah.
But also, I believe
she came home with the soot around the eyes, like Zoolander.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
She may be a minor.
Yeah.
And also his daughter, technically.
But he's also kind of the cool dad. And he is like, lets her smoke in the house. And then, there's one point where she comes home with a suitor who, she says that, it's an attempted rape going on.
Yes.
And he just beats the living hell out of the guy. And it's the one time in the movie you're like, yes, 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 King. Go for it, Sean Archer.
Yeah.
There's some inconsistencies.
There's some inconsistencies
with Caster Troy, because many times he is just portrayed as like an absolute sociopath, psychopath, has no regard for human life outside of his own, doesn't care about anybody, even seems like kind of unbothered, mostly when his brother dies, I feel like.
He tied his shoes.
You know, yeah, that's nice. But there's other times in the movie where like, he's trying, like in his way, I guess at certain points, he's trying to like relate to Sean Archer's family. I mean, it's really thin. It's pretty actually terrible. But there's at the start of the movie, it seems like back when he's rocking the mustache in the flashback and he snipes, Sean Archer and accidentally kills Sean's child. It looks like he has some remorse about that. It's like, oh my God, what did I do? And then you never really get that shade of him for the rest of the film.
Right. I mean, he could have gone 1 second later and killed Archer also. He's just right there.
I mean, he was on the ground, easy pickings. It is kind of wild that he just sort of lets that lie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he gives the pocket knife to Jamie also.
Yeah.
He says, hey, you got protection? She's like, you mean like a prophylactic? No, that's not what that already. And he gives her the switchblade, which ultimately she will use later in the film and stab him. And I kind of felt like I saw that coming.
Chekhov's switchblade.
Yeah, that was Chekhov's switchblade. Like, this is weird.
Yeah.
This is weird.
Hoisted by his own petard. That's what they used to say.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I thought he was a good dad and he was kind of a good husband.
Other than like, he was for sure would have done it if she was interested.
Yeah.
Other than
probably
that, he was
a bad
dad,
I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess.
No, I mean, yeah. So that part, I mean, it was a mixed bag for sure. And then he seemed like he was a better husband also.
She's much happier. She's probably like, at the end of the movie, Joan Allen is probably like a little bit bummed. Like, she knows this is leading towards a divorce, ultimately. Like, there's no coming back.
Yeah,
from,
she's
you know.
Like, God damn it. My husband who puts his hand on my face is back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, this guy is.
And the peach guy is gone.
Yeah. Kind of like the peach guy.
I miss the peach man, Ray Mullins. Yeah.
Yeah. She was overlooking a lot of other red flags.
Yeah. I mean, yes, the guy did murder her only son.
No, but, not those. You know. No, she. I'm talking about that. Like, there were a lot of things that he was acting strange, and I think she was willing to look past it for a while until she realized
really
what was actually going on. Yeah,
we had that really great night the other night where we just stayed up for hours eating one single peach. I'm gonna miss that guy.
Yeah,
it was such a fun night. If he kept being like, "Believe me, we're gonna stretch the peach for like 5 hours. It's gonna work."
Yeah, yeah.
Watch.
Can I? If you were in, let's
don't
say,
threaten me with a good time.
If you were in like Josh's, you became Josh. All right.
Okay.
Would you like that?
No. Well, that, I mean, that's a different question. I guess it's a better question. Would like, how would you convince, let's say you're Josh, you go to Josh's house.
Okay.
How do you convince Emily that you're not?
Well, what is my motive here? Why am I doing this?
It's like, you had no choice in the matter. You're just like, you accidentally warped into Josh's house. He's probably in your house. How do you both convince?
Like, why am I trying to keep the cover? Why don't I tell Emily, like, hey, just so
you don't have to keep the cover, but you are Josh. Like, you're in his body. So you have to, like,
is this like a quantum leap situation more than a face off?
It's a little bit of a quantum leap. You quantum.
Okay.
And then now, like, how do you convince Emily and the world that you are not Josh? Like, you're just going to sound crazy. You look like Josh. You sound like Josh.
Right,
what do you do?
We don't live in the universe where this technology is accessible.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, now you could put on the 1997 film Face Off and be like, that's us.
Yeah.
But, you know,
happening
like that's exactly
to me and
happened.
Rob.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But
boy,
they might think it's fake.
Mm hmm. Yeah.
Should we each have code words that if we ever get Face Off that we should like, you know, like if I tell everyone this code word, like Wet Willy or something that everyone knows.
Willy?
Wet Willy, Wet Willy, Wet Willy.
Well, I think with Akiva, it would be very easy. Okay, so if I got face soft with Akiva,
mm-hmm.
and then I had to prove to the world that I wasn't Akiva, mm-hmm. I would say I would just say like, look, say the word pickle and watch my mouth, dry as a bone. I did not immediately start watering at the mouth when you said the word pickle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That would be your go-to move, you think?
Yeah, that would be easy to prove.
The pickle one. Yeah, I mean, that would be easy. I don't know if that would be like fully sell them, but it's a good start. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be like, I helped with the kids today. She'd be like, yeah, that was suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. Did you know that about Akiva, Josh?
No, but I love this fact. I think this is great. Yeah.
So I think that would be easy.
Yeah.
Could easily prove
me and I have to convince Nicole that I'm
you have
not
to convince Nicole
you,
that you're
me.
Josh Wiggler, even though you're in Rob's body.
I would just eat anything other than grilled chicken. I would just eat a ton of stuff. I would eat. I would come back from the Wegmans.
That would throw her off.
I would come back from the Wegmans that Rob is at with like a smorgasbord that is undeniably not Rob. Like, is I'm not him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same guy. And I'll eat all of this happily to prove it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
she'd be thrown off. I mean, she would have to be paying attention to what I was doing
like,
at some point.
Here are all of the restaurants in our area that we haven't been to that I have scouted out because I'm a lunatic about like restaurant hunting.
Yeah,
this would be another thing that I would do. Yeah,
no, that would be.
I keep very close tabs on all the restaurants.
Do you?
I do. Yes.
Okay. I don't mean to besmirch. Yes.
Yes.
Are you you Yelp? Are you a Yelper or a Google?
I do Yelp. The problem is that you know, my wife doesn't want to like really like she's not super adventurous in terms of the restaurants, and then my kids don't want to go anywhere interesting.
Sure, they're at that age. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's not ideal. So I don't know if that particular thing, but I'm sure you could convince her pretty easily.
I'd come back with a cat. I'd like go out and I would get a cat.
That would be a tell.
Yes. Yeah. Say, look, look, I'm not like scratching my eyes out.
Yeah. I love this.
I have
cat.
No allergies. Yes.
Yeah.
That would be a good one. That would fool her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Akiva, would you want to face off with anybody?
I don't really think so. I can't think of anybody I want to face off with.
Plenty of money. Like who would you want to face off with?
Is it because you don't want to like be like living someone else's life, Akiva, or is it because like you're afraid of the procedure?
I assume I'd be asleep during the procedure. Maybe they would like I would be out. I don't know.
It seems painless, right? It seems like it's ultimately painless and it's reversible.
A little itchy. Yeah.
Yep.
Feel like it would be a lot of work, the whole thing. The whole thing would be a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. But, you know, if it's the right face, you know, it could be, you know, an adventure for sure.
I think the face off technology would be great, greatly applied, certainly, probably like irresponsibly so after a while by method actors. Like Jared Leto is doing face offs every week, is how this works if it's in our world.
Jeremy Strong.
Bale, yeah. Christian Bale face offing all the time. Yeah. Jeremy Strong constantly trading faces. Is how they would do it to get into the skin of their characters.
Yeah. Akiva, if you face off with somebody, it has to be somebody that you could also do their job.
Well, that's a good thing. Like if somebody's like a computer programmer or something and I have to learn their job. Luckily for Nicolas Cage and John Travolta, you know, Castor Troy and Sean Archer in this movie, their jobs are basically just to kill each other. So it really just kind of flipped and it had almost no impact on their. The only ability was like at the FBI where John Travolta worked. They love, you know, Nicolas Cage as John Travolta. Like, he's much cooler. Mm-hmm. They literally said, like, oh, when did you get the stick surgically removed from your ass? I think Margaret Cho asked.
This like, movie is really just like a hatchet job on John Travolta, ultimately. Like, I do think, like, everybody in Sean Archer's life, like, kind of gets
it was the Sean Archer roast.
Yeah, they like kind of all get like outed over the course of the movie. I was like, I don't really like that guy. And so like he comes back as Sean Archer at the end and it's like supposed to be like this happy thing that he's got his John Travolta swagger back. And everyone's like, oh, hi, Sean. Welcome back.
Yeah.
You know, welcome back, Archer.
Yeah. Not welcome back, Cotter. And welcome back, Cotter. Josh, I felt like that one of the things I really liked in the movie was that when Troy as Archer said, okay, I'm going to defuse the bomb and then I'm going to become a national celebrity and become like very famous. And I felt like that then he did not really exploit that to the fullest.
Well, I think part of the reason why he doesn't is because he's shortly then after killed, you know?
Yeah, but I feel like that he was not really pursuing that. Maybe he got distracted by hearing that.
There should have been
Troy
a good
escaped.
Point. There should have been like a clip of him on like the Tonight Show or something, like trying to become
a
celebrity.
Let's bring out the nation's number one hero. Here comes Mr. Sean Archer.
Real big miss. I think that's a good point.
He comes out to Hallelujah.
What was that? Was really weird too.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very odd. I believe Nicolas Cage has said that he kind of regrets his performance in this scene and that this was a little bit over the top. I think
what that he's like grabbing the butt of like some woman in the chorus.
That this scene is
the
like
20 the murders.
Yeah, everything else was pretty plausible.
He murdered.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That was a little too much. That was too much. Too much. One. You know, bridge too far. I think.
Yeah.
My favorite scene is the whole airplane scene because you sort of think he's going to get away, right? Most of these movies. They get away in the scene where they're trying to flee from the FBI. And here it's just like a bunch of FBI people die. So, you know, like, oh, this movie means business. And then they crash and it ends up being with the jail stuff. But like, to me, that's like a great set piece in the movie. That's my favorite like action scene.
We watched this in the PSR Discord like months ago, maybe a year at this point. I don't even remember what is time. But I remember like when we were watching this first sequence and like I had not been like struck with this thought before, but it was during that viewing of the movie where I was struck with this thought of like, if you were watching TV and Face Off came on like TBS or TNT or something like that, and this was the scene that was playing and you just randomly flipped to it, Akiva, wouldn't you think that you're at the end of the movie? Like this movie starts with an action scene that is like the end of any other action movie.
Yeah, it's a good point. And that's why I thought they'd get away because you don't think it's going to be this big thing. And there's not really a second set piece, probably because this costs like $50 million, this scene.
I mean, the one at the end on the boat is
I don't think it's as big as this. Like, this is like planes crashing. And I think this is this is like the Speed 2 cruise control like boat at the end to me. Like this is
the big one. Exactly. Yeah. Like
the,
I mean, sometimes
movies run out of money. You know what I mean? Maybe they had bigger plans for the end and had to scrap it. I don't know. But you, this is a huge. But I also think like one of the beautiful things about this movie, you see that scene, I think you're in for the rest of the movie. Like it's one of these things where it's a great cable movie. Like you're sticking around if you see this.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. Like I think it's like, whoa, that was the start. Okay. Mm-hmm. Hope you can back this up. And it's like, oh, we can back it up. We're gonna actually put Nicolas Cage and John Travolta's faces on each other. Like, yeah, I'm in. I'll stick around for the rest of this for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Gotta see how that works out.
We didn't talk too much about the jail sequence in the film.
They're wearing magnetic boots.
Yeah. Now, I do not know a lot about real life prisons. Like, is this technology out there?
I don't think that people are walking around with like huge like Transformers style magnetic boots, but I also could be wrong about that.
Do the prisoners shower? Do they take them out of the boots and then put the magnetic boots back on every day?
I think that they give them magnetic shower shoes. Like
magnetic shower
like,
shoes, yeah.
Yeah, they have like magnetic like Adidas slides that they're allowed to wear in the showers.
Because maybe you never take them off, but I feel like that we're probably going to get into like some hygiene issues, Akiva. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question with the boots. And is this like a futuristic thing you think also?
Yeah, maybe this is also part of the parallel universe. But Akiva, I don't think you ever have to tie the magnetic shoes.
Oh, that's great then. Yeah, they definitely, not to make a joke, they don't give you shoelaces in jail, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah.
The laces just kind of take care of themselves.
Yeah, I guess there's so many like riots at this prison that they can just like turn the magnet boots on whenever they feel like it, willy nilly. Mm-hmm.
Kiva's code word. Yeah. Oh, it was wet willy. Yeah. Sorry, it's close enough. Yeah.
Wet willy. Uh-huh. Yeah. Speaking of wet willy, also, then I thought it was a little also implausible that Nick Cage, that Archer as Pollux Troy, like reaches the top of the jail and realizes that this is like an Alcatraz situation and then swims to shore.
I feel like that was a really good Easter egg for The Rock, though.
Yes.
That was really good. It's like, wow, that's a pretty quick callback that you guys made. This movie just came out a year ago, 2 years
ago. Like, what's the point of having this jail at sea if you can swim to shore?
Yeah. It's a good question. But I don't think that, you know, I think that what we're also probably overlooking there is just how competent a swimmer Sean Archer is. Like, I don't think that like most of the prisoners in that prison are as like athletic swimmers as Sean Archer.
Yeah, but does Pollux Troy have a swimmer's body?
Castor Troy? Pollux
I'm
Troy.
Yes.
Castor Pollux Troy definitely doesn't. Pollux Troy is like, I'm not getting in the water. I won't do it. I was afraid of water as a young boy. You would remember that. You were really.
By the way, another IMDb fact, Josh. He wrote a lot of his own lines in the movie. Yeah. Pollux Troy.
Absolutely. Crazy. Totally. Mm-hmm. I absolutely believe that. The Rock comes out June 1996, and within a calendar year, we are getting Con Air and Face Off as well. I believe the only 90s actor who has like sort of like as big of a moment like that with like a trilogy of movies, basically, as Nicolas Cage that comes to mind. And I would love to get the takes from Rob and Akiva as to who has like the bigger three 90s movies in such quick succession. Is that I believe that Ace Ventura, The Mask, and Dumb and Dumber are maybe all the same year as well, I think, from Jim Carrey. Who did it better, Nicolas Cage or Jim Carrey? And also, how would they be as face-offs?
Oh, I mean, Jim Carrey is you know, the master of face contortions to begin with.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that Jim Carrey might have burned the hotter and brighter, where that Nick Cage, I think, is more celebrated for the longer body of work.
Do you know that they tried to do a team up before the part went to Jeff Daniels, that Jim Carrey wanted Nicolas Cage to be Harry in Dumb and Dumber?
Oh, interesting.
It could have been Carrey and Cage instead of Carrey and Daniels.
Akiva, did you watch the Bob Saget tribute on Netflix?
Yeah, Carrey really like...
Jim Carrey is unhinged during
that. Doesn't stop talking, and nobody's like, listen, maybe they were good friends. Nobody knew that they knew each other before this Netflix documentary, Yeah. Like, nobody wanted to hear. Carrie's on stage. Well, Coulier's not even there for some reason. I don't know. They show him in like a clip, but he should have been there. I don't know what the deal was there.
Like a kind of way where like you're watching it and you're thinking like, man, this guy shouldn't be, he should.
It was like, he should stop talking. Like, it's fine that he's there, but why? He's like not funny, and he just keeps talking and talking.
He just keeps blurting things out and like
blurting.
I watched it. I'm like, I don't know if this should have been televised. I think maybe if you were there, like for the, like, there was a lot of people there, and they didn't really get into like everybody's like relationship with them, but they sort of like had like, okay, let's have the most famous people sit on the stage.
Yeah.
But they weren't necessarily the people that knew Bob Saget the best, per se.
And maybe. I mean, who knows? Like, but they didn't explain Carrie's relationship with Saget at all. Like, John Mayer, they say, like, he paid for his body to be returned home after, you know, after he died. Like, that's, you know, ostensibly they were very close. And John Mayer talked about
Seth Green,
it.
Josh?
Yeah. Do we think it's possible that Jim Carrey was like acting out of character because it was actually Nicolas Cage having faced off with Jim Carrey?
And like, I don't know, Nicolas Cage didn't know Bob Saget.
I could see him never having heard of him. Yeah. Like Nick Cage just never having. Yeah. I don't know. He's more of a movie guy.
I love
Cage.
Full House.
I don't think
watch America's
think so.
Funniest Home Videos all the time.
Yeah. Also, maybe this is a plot hole, Josh. So when they get the face-off surgery, the surgeon tells Travolta, like, hey, be careful with this vocal chip, that if you sneeze the wrong way, this thing could come out. At no point, and we see that Archer, as Castor Troy, gets in a million fist fights. It never gets dislodged. He never tries to intentionally dislodge it.
Right. Like, there should be like probably like a 3-minute montage of Nicolas Cage just punching himself in the throat to like deliberately destroy the chip so that he can now be running around with a perfect John Travolta voice. And everyone's like, OK, maybe he's onto something, like that might actually be John Travolta with Nicolas Cage's face on it.
Yeah. And if this is not important, why does the guy even say it in the movie? Yeah.
I wonder if it got cut or something.
It's probably like one of those things where like people are going to ask us questions about this for years. If we don't address it in the film.
We're tying up loose ends here.
And if we address why the voice is different, then we've really covered all of our bases, and there will be nothing else about the procedure that people will have questions about.
At one point in the film, it's mentioned that Castor Troy had a sex sandwich with somebody's wife and sister.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You're just saying that's just
you're just telling us stuff now.
Yeah. That happens in the movie. They go, oh yeah, you had a. I believe it's Pollux who does say that to Castor Troy. He's still mad at you because you had a sex sandwich with his wife. And we didn't nominate this guy for an Oscar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, I don't know if I've heard that euphemism.
I don't think it took off. I thought they tried to like bring it, you know, to the mainstream.
Did the kids
of
your camp say that, Akiva?
I don't think they were.
That wasn't
I don't
one
think
of the quotes
anybody.
That they said?
I don't think.
Rob, it was, whatever you do, do not go into the Wegmans deli section and ask for a sex sandwich.
won't be allowed to come within 150 yards of the Wegmans again.
Don't do it.
I'll need a face off to get back in here. Is there anything else?
Can we talk about the end of the movie?
Yes.
Can we talk about the end for a second?
Please.
So the end of the movie, this is how it ends. They, after Nicolas Cage gets killed by John, you know, whatever. Castor Troy gets killed by
John
what's
Archer.
His name? John Archer.
Yeah.
And now he switches faces back. So he goes to the hospital, has the re-face on procedure, and just shows up at home one day.
Yes.
His wife is like hanging out on the computer. He shows up. Hey, honey, I'm home. Oh, it's like today's the day where you got your face on procedure. Like, cool. Like,
yeah, she didn't
don't
come
worry.
Visit him at the hospital.
Don't worry. Don't come visit. I'll be good. As we've established, it's already like outpatient. You get to leave immediately. And by the way, like here is Nicolas Cage's son. Now he's like our kid. We have like, you know, that monster we have in the house who's like, you know, ruining our lives. Like now we have another kid, by the way. You have to like do parenting for another 12 years.
Mm-hmm. It's just another, point in favor of Sean Archer's not like, he's a very selfish guy, it seems like. Mm-hmm. He's not terribly considerate of the feelings of those around him. And I think that,
right.
I think that this is like more of the thing than like, Caster Troy was great. Oh my God, I miss Caster Troy. I think it's less about how Caster Troy is great and much more about like how much of a deep, deep bummer John Travolta is.
Yeah. Right. How did this work? Like, so he goes to, let's say it's not in their city or something. Like, maybe they have to go to like a bigger city hospital. Where does the movie take place? In LA?
Seems it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so like, so he comes back from his, incredibly like once in a lifetime surgery. Wife doesn't visit him, daughter isn't interested at all. Comes home, like, is he like, hey, let's swing by the old like lair where all like the evil people live and pick up this kid? Like, is there any government paperwork involved? So, like,
I don't think I don't think the kid was still there after the shootout. It's probably sort of like social services pick the kid up after they cleaned up all the dead bodies and probably somewhere. And so I think that, I don't know, like maybe they wouldn't give him to the person like who killed the dead.
Probably not.
But the part of where he brings him home, the interesting part to talk about, because Josh, if you just came home with another cat tonight, unannounced,
right?
Would that just be, that would be cool?
I don't think it would be cool.
Like, hey,
no,
yeah,
it would be very disruptive on a number of levels.
This other cat, yeah. Let alone a person, Akiva.
Yeah, and not just a person, but like the son of the guy who was like,
Mara, I adopted
ruined your
kid.
Life four times over. You know.
Well, he did a lot of things to Mrs. Archer.
Yeah, he did. I mean, like a permanent reminder, yeah, also,
which is
of
a
their
constant
beloved
reminder. Yeah, a permanent reminder of the impact that Troy had on the house. Yeah, when he grows up, just like him. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I think he like walks through the door and says, "Hey, I brought another kid." And I think that Mrs. Archer's like,
and the
hey,
kid's like hiding outside for a minute. Like, hey, we want to make a big surprise. We don't want this. Like, we don't want her to Joan Allen to know what hit her. You know,
well,
you wait by the mailbox for a second.
The sequel, and this is kind of a dark thought. Like, let me just put that out there. But you don't think that Mr. and Mrs. Archer would face off the kid to get the face of their original kid, right?
No way. I can't go there with you.
I'm just saying this is just like the writer's room stuff. For
right,
the
you're spitballing. Mm-hmm. No bad ideas. Yeah.
Okay. Because I think might like really antagonize him to like plot his own face off eventually.
Yeah, that would make sense. My feeling is probably that like after they've like removed the faces of Nicolas Cage and John Travolta, that they probably started like cloning the faces so that they've got like a hall of faces, much like the House of Black and White in Game of Thrones, that like will come into Face Off 2. And there's just going to be like a ton of aged Travolta and Cage faces that people are going to be wearing throughout the movie. I think that's what I would lean towards, is like a small army of Travoltas versus Cages would be my face off.
Maybe too. Like all of their roles. Right. That would be like a cool Easter egg.
Yes, that would be great. Oh my God. You get John Travolta as like his Battlefield Earth.
Yeah. We're right there. We're on the same page.
Agent Snake Eyes.
Yes. Yeah. Get that. There's a lot of different ways you could go.
Yeah.
Like he's Ghost Rider. He's just a skull on fire. You have that on the wall.
Danny Zuko.
Yep.
Yeah.
Vinny Barbarino.
Vega. Yeah. Vincent Vega would be good.
So many.
Hair. Yeah.
So many.
I'd love to see that.
Okay.
Face Off 2 should be the story of Nicolas Cage and John Travolta being unable to shake Face Off from their career. It's just been chasing them this entire time. And Travolta and Cage make a pact to exchange careers for a time. It's like kind of Freaky Friday. And so it's like sort of like, I mean, Nicolas Cage has already done this. He already made the movie where he played himself. Why not make another? And in this movie, he and John Travolta are playing themselves, who get the idea from Face Off to put all of their Hollywood money into actual Face Off technology, and then they play each other. and they come to not love it. Like, they don't like really feel like each other's lives are a good fit. Or it's maybe even less that it's not a good fit. It's just that they're both pretty lonely. They come to find. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does Travolta still work?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, for sure. He does. He's not like as prolific as Nicolas Cage, but who is really at mm-hmm. this point?
He's doing like B movies now. Not the B movie.
It's not a great catalog for John Travolta lately, I feel like. You know, Travolta shows up in a movie now. Like, it used to be that he showed up and it was like, oh, this is like a really, impressive, like, legal drama, right? It's like the court martial one or the one about the water being bad. And now he shows back up and it's like, oh, shit, his head's shaved and he's coming to do some, like, really bad action.
Yeah. I feel like his last big thing was at the American Crime Story where he was Robert Shapiro.
Right. Yes.
Was
that any good? Did we like that from him?
I think it was more like
people like
interesting
American Crime Story, but
yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But his career famously is like he was hot, and then he was not, and then he was hot again, and then he's not.
You think he could have a comeback?
Does he have one more comeback?
Good.
I mean, he's in a movie. If you look at his IMDb, he's in a movie. Not to make fun with Bruce Willis and Stephen Dorff in 2 years, and you know Bruce Willis was making like C level movies.
Yeah.
That his family was like forcing him to make. So, and we saw The Fanatic. We watched the John Travolta film, The Fanatic, a couple years ago. I think it's very bleak right now for Johnny T.
The Fanatic, tellingly, is his most recent film credit. He's got a couple of movies in post production right now, but the last time you saw John Travolta in a movie. The last time you see John Travolta in a movie is The Fanatic. Oh, he was in a 2018 movie called Speed Kills. Did they actually make a third Speed and it went under the radar?
No, I don't think so.
Wow. Speed under the radar is a good one.
Oh, John Gotti, famously.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Cage had money problems, if I'm not mistaken, right? Cage bought some
famously.
Like.
Yes.
I think Travolta.
So he made it very, like, he wanted to, like, work that off. He wanted to work off the debt,
exactly.
So he made 100 movies in a minute. Yeah.
Travolta, I think, is just phenomenally wealthy and is probably at the end of his career or near the end of his career and is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Akib, you have any other face-off thoughts?
No, I am excited for the sequel. I will, be there opening day. But
opening day?
Opening day.
Yeah.
The home opener. I think, I'm happy
opener.
Are you happy that you saw this movie?
Yes. Quite happy.
Do you think you'd watch Con Air now?
Yeah, that's the question I was going to ask. That and The Rock. Would you watch those?
Okay, well, so I did see The Rock in theaters, I believe. I remember being exciting at the time. But the thing to me about Face Off that was appealing, like, I feel like that, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, like, I feel like that what I didn't necessarily love was, like, action, action, action. And I feel like that Con Air in my mind is a lot of like, jumping out of planes and.
No, Con Air is very funny. Con Air has like a lot of funnier jokes.
There's a ton of characters. Like there's
Buscemi has like the best role of his career and like.
Yeah, Malkovich is wild in the movie. Steve Buscemi is wild in the movie. Ving Rhames has a good part. There's a lot of people in the movie. Like, there's a fun John Cusack role. Miles O'Brien from Star Trek has a really big role in the movie. Yeah, that's him. Colm Meaney, exactly.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Colm Feore, who played the surgeon that performed the face-off procedure. So I do think that you would probably get a real kick out of Con
I think you'd
Air.
Like it better than Face Off, even, honestly.
I think that's probably right.
It would be similar to the Wiggler rankings?
Yeah, I do think that, The Rock is my personal favorite because I think I saw it first and I just love that
movie.
Where
do you have Face Off in the top 10, Josh?
Where did I have it or where did it land?
Well, it wasn't your rankings?
No, it wasn't my specific rankings. We did a poll and it landed, I think it got fourth place.
Okay, that's fair.
Fourth, third, and second were all some permutation of Face Off, The Rock, and Con Air. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
I think Con Air rightly would be, I think, the number one Nicolas Cage movie, probably. I think is probably the right vote. But I do think you could like switch any one of the three, and I wouldn't be that mad about it. National Treasure won the poll. I'm kind of out on that.
National Treasure 2.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of out on that.
We watched National Treasure 1, Akiva.
Yeah. Well, Osman also, but we can watch National Treasure 2.
Tellingly, Natty Treasure 2 did not chart in the top 10.
Didn't chart.
Book of Shadows didn't make it. Is that what it's called? National Treasure 2, Book of Shadows?
We haven't seen it, so we don't know.
Yeah, no spoilers.
Book of Secrets. I'm so sorry.
Secrets.
Really sorry. Yeah.
Book of Shadows. That might have been. Is that a Blair Witch Project too?
That absolutely is. Yeah, Book of Shadows, the Blair Witch Project 2, with your boy Jeffrey Donovan, I believe.
Yeah. Interestingly, it's Book of Shadows Blair Witch 2.
Yeah.
It's not Blair Witch 2 : Book of Shadows.
The best thing you can say about Book of Shadows Blair Witch 2 is they took a swing, right? Like they tried something. They definitely went
for
something.
They were kind of boxed in after the first one. Yeah.
I think that they were like, listen, the second one always sucks, so let's not try.
We have that problem with the sequel mechanism, Josh. Sometimes we do something so iconic with the first one. How do we duplicate it if it doesn't come close? Yeah.
It's very hard.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Josh, are you staying for the mailbag today? What do you have going on?
I'll stick around, sure. Well, why not?
You know, All right.
And what if something happens at Wegmans and I miss it?
What if something happens at Wegmans? Okay. Akiva, are you good to go right into the mailbag?
I am good.
Okay.
I'm good.
All right. So then from a production standpoint, it is very hard for us to stop down and pause. So
I thought that was rhetorical.
Yeah.
How about
this?
You're going to ask Josh what song he wants to play.
Okay.
I'm going to run and pee.
Okay.
Yes.
And I'll be back by the time the song's over.
I would have to abandon my post to go.
I know.
We'll
watch your computer if you want.
Turn your camera on. I'll watch. I'll watch the computer.
It'll be such a funny story.
Oh no! Oh yeah, I should have phrased that differently.
Yeah, okay, that's going to be on out of context.
Okay. All right. Prince. How about this, Akiva? You run. Everybody will listen to the mailbag song, and then we'll jump back in. Okay.
Got it.
Okay.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
It's the remix jingle, time for another, just like the sequel to How I Met Your Mother. Robin Keeve need a podcast, it's pretty established. Could have any guest like Tiffany Radish, they could take the podcast to great heights, appearing on Seth Meyers, the king of late night. You've given me and Phil hours of laughs, because we know that you watched the whole 2 hours of Cats. What? I can't believe how painful it is. I really, really wish that you were taking the piss. That means joking around, that's just British slang, just spin the wheel as fast and furious as you can. It's sublime. I'm running out of things to say when I'm writing these lines. My name's Jack Fox, but I think that it's time to pass the mic to Phil T. This spits some rhymes. Go ahead.
Okay, it's Phil and Jack Fox. Robin Keeve got games like Jack Fox. It's Rob and Akiva need a
bing bang.
Rob and Akiva need a
bing bang.
So now it's me, Phil T. So pull up a chair and listen to Akiva talk about how he picked up a spare. Come to Rob and Akiva for barrels of banter, not Lizzie McGuire, but I'm duffing a wanker. If you don't go and leave a 5-star review, you can catch these hands back to Timbuktu. Watching S3F7 on HBO. If you hate, then it's L plus ratio. They've gone and watched Seinfeld. They've yet to watch Scum. Talking to my two dads. Well, where's my mom? Where's my mom, dads? Dads, where's my mom?
All right, Josh, here we go. It's mailbag 179. Fun talking. I'm so glad that I got the chance to talk with you about Face Off, because I would there's nobody else that I would have rather had this discussion of Face Off with.
Oh yeah, truly my pleasure. When Akiva mentioned this to me,
you responded instantly.
Yeah, I responded immediately, and I believe he said like you'd come on to talk about Face Off, right? I was like, obviously, yeah, you know, like anytime you want to talk about Face Off. No, I believe I just said, yup, when? That was my question. When? Yeah, and he's like, are you available? And if I wasn't available, I was going to make myself available.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Josh, do you have any ideas for Renap pitches?
God, right. I'm supposed to come with some of those, huh?
You don't have to.
Yeah. Man, I mean, I really, my idea, like, we can't really do now. My idea was, like, let's say that this is a Face-Off podcast, and instead it's, like, Rob raids Wegmans.
See, I don't want to raid Wegmans.
Yeah, raid is the wrong word. I think shops.
I'm too old to be, like, getting into trouble. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm, like, embarrassed if somebody has to, like, go. When you're a kid, it's like, you know, you're just, like, a hooligan. And now, I don't know. I didn't want to say the words.
Rob is Rob and Akiva are hooligans is just a great name for an episode. I don't know what that.
No, I'm too old to be a hooligan.
What are we? What's the who though? It's like Doctor Who, Guess Who.
Oh no, no! I already tossed out Guess Who once upon a time.
Ooh, yeah,
Guess Who? That would have been
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Josh, we haven't talked about what are you working on these days?
I'm doing lots of podcasts over at Post Show Recaps. There's a ton of television on right now. Rob, we had you on the Better Call Saul podcast a few weeks ago. That was super fun. We had Dr. Christian Hubicki on the Better Call Saul.
I enjoyed that one a lot also.
Really fun. And we're in a couple more weeks of a layoff before Better Call Saul returns for the second half of its final season, but we're still doing off-season pods. Westworld is right around the corner. We're going to have a really big, lots of fun Westworld podcast stuff. It's myself, Mike Bloom, and Joe Garfine.
Yeah. Akiva, you don't ever watch Westworld, right?
No, I have never seen it.
Yeah, no
I
chance.
Have never seen
no
it.
No chance. No chance.
Yeah.
Mike and I are talking about Stranger Things.
Yeah. Akiva, you watch that?
I don't, although my daughter, my 13-year-old, says their favorite show of all time.
Season 4 is really good. Season 4 is like very clearly the second best season of the show, and like it's really not close. And I would understand people's arguments of like, oh, I think this might be my favorite season. This is really good, and it's super long, which is a little bit of a thing, and maybe would hold it back for me a bit. And also, season 1 is just kind of iconic, but season 4 has been really fun, and Mike and I've had a good time talking about that.
Yeah.
Got to start getting my head into the Westeros space because the Game of Thrones franchise returns later this summer with the House of the Dragon.
It's Rob, did you about this? Well, say it's 2 months I did before hear, podcast.
Yeah,
you start getting ready for it. Josh is what you're saying.
It gets ready. Interestingly, I did see the news item about in development. I would love to also get Akiva's thought on this about that there is apparently a Jon Snow follow-up show in production over at HBO.
That's the word on the street, is that it's in development with Kit Harington attached. This was a report from James Hibbard at The Hollywood Reporter, previously of Entertainment Weekly, who is a journalist who has been in the past multiple times embedded on the Game of Thrones set. He's written a book about Game of Thrones from behind the scenes with interviews with like everybody you would want to hear from on the Game of Thrones side of things. So this dude's plugged in. So if James Hibbard is reporting that there is a Jon Snow show in development, then it's at the very least in development. Whether or not it actually happens is a completely separate thing. I'm not going to be the guy out here who's like, I don't want to watch a Jon Snow show. If they're going to make it, and if Kit Harington decides what he wants to do with his life after a few years away from this is pick up the sword again and get back on a horse and constantly say, I don't want it, then do that. Do that with your life. That sounds great. And if you want to film that and you want to put it on an HBO Max or another streaming service, if HBO Max isn't here by the time that the show comes out, then I'll watch it. And I'll be very happy to podcast about it as well. I'm excited for this. I don't think, how much lower can they go? you know, with the reputation of the final season of the show, they already hit the bottom. What's beneath that? Yeah. I'd like to find out.
What's beneath it?
I did just get some side eye from somebody.
An employee, or a worker?
Yeah, one of the guys with the carts. Definitely
some side eye coming in. Guy.
But we talked about this with Melissa McCarthy last week. Josh, last week, Keeve and I watched
every episode. You had Melissa McCarthy on the podcast?
No, but in regards to Melissa McCarthy, she's doing a new show for HGTV where she's her and her friend are renovating houses. Is this Kit Harington's choice, do you think, Akiva? Or do you feel like that there were not a ton of other options out there?
I think it's, you know, they see the what's out there and they come back and someone offers them a bag and it's like, why not? You know,
here's what's happening with Kit Harington. Kit Harington has been enlisted in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He will be playing. He's been seen in a movie. He was in The Eternals. Plays a character named Dane Whitman, who in Marvel,
I think it's just Eternals. You know,
in Marvel Comics, this is a dude who is like a sword swinging superhero. Kit Harington just wants to be in things where he gets to swing a sword. That's fine. That's what he wants. That's what he wants to do. And I'm sure that they're backing up a ton of money.
They threw him the bag.
Yeah. Like, you know, take that. Enrich your life. Go do something that makes you happy. And that is like, you could just hop off, you know, you could dust off the boots. You can get back on the horse, you know, bring out the CGI ghost and you're back in action. This feels like fits like a glove. No brainer stuff for Kit Harington. From Kit Harington's perspective, I feel like this is a great, great development in his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, Akiva, will this get you back in?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to watch the first episode of the new Game of Thrones. I'm not, like, committed to watching the whole thing, but I'm back for the ride. And I don't mind if, you know, if you don't have to watch any of this stuff. So if you're mad that they have 9 shows in the works, like, I'm not a Star Wars guy, but I know there's, like, 30 Star Wars shows in the works, right? Yeah. And, like, I'm sure the Star Wars people love them, and some are probably terrible, and some are very good. And, you know, who cares? Like, I don't, of course you wish, like, not everything would just be like previous IP in Hollywood, but as you know, it's better to have some shows than no shows of this world that people used to really love.
Listen, I'll tell you what, no shows recaps would be a very different podcast. And I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about what that world looks like. I don't like that world at all. So I agree with everything Akiva's just said.
Okay. Akiva, what do you have? I can't play the sound effects today, unfortunately, but of course the listeners have submitted ideas. I'm hoping.
Yes, the listeners have submitted ideas.
Poof. That was a pregnant pause. I was worried for a second that no listeners had ideas.
Yeah.
If we had no listener ideas, that would be a sad week.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What do you got? Okay.
We have Sam from San Diego. That should really just be Sam Diego. We should just
definitely. You can change
Sam
that after
Diego.
Sam Diego. His idea is called "It's Karate Time."
It's Karate Time.
He says, "Rob and Akiva watch both the Karate Kid movie and the remake with Jaden Smith and Jackie Chan. Imagine this would lead to some hilarious comparisons between the two. Rob and Akiva could also discuss other aspects of the Karate Kid cinematic universe, like the Netflix show Cobra Kai, or even being a karate expert at one point." Well, I don't know how much we would know about being a karate expert unless we became karate experts just for this one podcast. But would you want to watch the original and the remake of the Karate Kid?
So, okay, now, Josh, I know that you have most recently in the Karate Kid universe podcast about Cobra Kai.
Yes.
It feels like that very much like that we are like picking some very specific parts of this IP of only the original Karate Kid and the remake of the Karate Kid. Karate Kid.
Right.
No sequels.
Yeah, I feel like if you're wading into Karate Kid territory right now, I'm not entirely sure why you aren't focusing on Cobra Kai. It's relevant. Yep. It's popular. It's easily accessible on Netflix. It's super bingeable. So I don't know that I love Rob and Akiva doing karate unless Cobra Kai is like a big anchor. If we're attaching Rob and Akiva do karate to the Karate Kid franchise as like an immovable part of the premise. If that's a movable part of the premise, and instead it's like Rob and Akiva go and take a karate lesson and report back, I'm probably more in on that idea.
Oh, Yeah. Akiva, what if at the next Renap live event, you and I both get like private instruction in karate and then have a match?
Yes. Me and you have a match?
Yes. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say if we beat up all the listeners. Like,
no.
Like,
no.
Out of a movie.
But when you send your kid to a karate match, it's not like in The Karate Kid where like somebody's like is like maimed by the end of the match, right?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, probably don't threaten your listeners with violence, Akiva. I mean, like, I know that's a very loyal crop.
They
love that sort of thing. But,
they know they could take us. Yeah, they know ultimately.
Mm-hmm. They outnumber us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's way. I mean, like, by a lot.
By a lot.
Yeah. 3-2 is probably like top odds for you guys. So
that would be true. Yeah. It would be bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No karate time yet. And we need to, you know, if this is a Renap podcast, we need to, like, you know, it's got to be forget the mustard. It's karate time. So we got to, you know, figure out. Some way to implement forgetting mustard.
Mm-hmm. You, Rob and Akiva take enough karate classes to get yellow belts, which you then called mustard.
Is that the second belt?
I don't know what the ranking is. I have no idea.
My son said he wants to switch from like basketball after school to like karate or some sort of martial arts self-defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe I'll get him a yellow belt. I don't know.
Okay. All right. What's next, Akiva?
This is from Marky Mark. Okay.
Oh, best supporting actor in the alternate universe.
Mm-hmm.
Says Rob and Akiva are keeping up, or Rob and Akiva can't keep up.
Okay.
He says Rob and Akiva famously don't know much about the Kardashian-Jenner family. I don't know if that's really true. In this episode,
no lies detected.
Mm-hmm, in this episode of Kardashian Junkie, in parentheses, he says TikTok Nicole. First of all, I don't think she's a Kardashian junkie at all.
Yeah.
Too classy for that.
She's very classy.
She's too classy for that. We'll come on and educate Rob and Akiva and all the members of the family and their TV shows. After learning about them, RNA play games about them. Example, quiz to try and guess real fake headlines that the Kardashian-Jenner family has made. Try to guess which Kardashian made a certain headline. Yeah, you said that already.
Yeah. don't critique the email.
I already said we're going to freaking kick all our listeners' butts. Like, just critiquing the emails is nothing.
Okay. A Kardashian is the Kardashians. Are they active on Hulu right now?
I believe so.
I think yes. I think they're maybe finishing their first season or something. But yeah.
Yes. Hmm. Yeah. I would only do it if Mess Magnets could be on with us.
That's fun.
Yeah, I think they hate the Kardashians. I could be wrong. But I don't want to put words in their mouth.
Like, they keep like up with them much more
they
than
keep
we
up
do.
With them. Oh yeah, I mean that's not hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
We keep up with everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the Mess Magnets have like a good way we could tackle this, because there's so much. I mean, there's like 20 seasons and now the
trying
new show.
To approach the Kardashians would be like trying like without like going back to previous Kardashian material would be like trying to like understand Avengers Endgame without having seen previous Marvel movies. It's a vast universe that you're talking about.
I mean,
here.
We could watch like season 3, episode 7 of Keeping Up with the Kardashians and then watch like, the new show and see what's up.
That's probably like it's a simpler idea. It's more easily tenable. Mm-hmm. You would have a lot of questions. You could bring some Kardashian experts in who could like answer your questions about why is Scott Disick like this? You know, like questions like that along the way. I think it's not a terrible idea if you were to do one episode of like Keeping Up with the Kardashians, season 3, episode 7, a totally different time in their lives. Could be interesting.
Can I lodge a complaint about the Mess Magnets?
The opinions of Akiva Winokur do not represent the opinions of Rob and Akiva need a podcast. Rob has a podcast. Tribe Seeking Media. Josh Wiggler.
No way.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Listen, I'm not afraid. Like I already said, I'm learning karate. Yeah, no one's going to beat me up anymore.
Yes.
No, I told when Chris was starting the podcast, I said you have to call the listeners the messy bitches. They call them the messengers.
Maybe they didn't want to throw the B word around.
Yeah.
Probably not. But I thought it was like a funny thing. Anyway,
they're
not real.
As free with it as you are.
Yeah. Oh my God. All right. And we can't edit this episode, guys. So anyway. No, love it. Very, very good episode this week of the Mess Magnets. I listened this week. Excellent episode.
Okay. So interesting. So I do something to report from Dr. Mike.
Oh, I thought you were going to say from Wegmans, from like the guy who side-eyed.
No. They sort of left me alone. So
like, what's this dude doing here for like 2 hours? Just like talking on.
Yeah. Okay. So, I can give you a, you know, independent survey of Wegmans customers coming in masked or unmasked.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I don't think my heart can take it. I don't want to know.
Okay. I mean, I'm outside in the parking lot also. For sure. I don't know what they do. Maybe they get in the store and they put the mask on. Yeah. Anyway, so Dr. Mike says that he actually listened to the last Renap of Extra Extra, and he said it was very funny, really funny. He said,
"We love you, Dr. Mike."
I love Dr. Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always said that.
Okay, so
yeah. He has no thoughts on Face Off.
He said, of all the possible news, I asked him, do you think they also switch their lower bodies?
Yes.
and he said, of all the possible news AF questions and subjects, he doesn't even know it's for Renap. This is the one? I don't think so. Do you?
Do you think it's possible that he, when he said I listened to the last Renap, he actually meant the last news AF?
Well, he likes news AF also. I don't think he likes the Survivor content as much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if Dr. Mike doesn't think so. Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess, my questions were going to be, if he doesn't even think it happened, then, I can't ask him any questions about, the procedure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we covered it fairly comprehensively.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is from, John John.
Oh, okay.
John John. It's called Renap from the Block. I think we could work on the title. He says, Rob and Akiva look at the works of Jennifer Lopez and they watch some of her movies. Selena, well, Marry Me, Home.
I thought that the idea was that Rob and Akiva were going to go through like their lists of people on Twitter and live block people.
Oh, that would be fun too.
That's interesting.
Pretty good. Yeah. And like, you could block a bunch of people. Like, you could have fun with this. You could like do a live block of people who will never know that you blocked them. So like uber famous people and you just block them on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. You know why I blocked the second they joined Twitter, Josh?
Who? Who?
Derek Jeter, the second he joined.
Oh, yes.
Insta-block. I don't want anything to do with whatever Jeter's got going on.
Robin Akiva block Twitter, I think, is a fun idea.
Mm-hmm. Now, I did just watch on Nothing But Netflix this week the J-Lo documentary Halftime that was talked about on last week's Robin Akiva R Extra. Chappelle and I were joined by Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz, of course, of Post Show Recaps fame. Yes. To talk about Halftime. She's a big J-Lo stan. That was a very fun podcast. And Akiva, it was not only about the Halftime show. It was much more about the life of J-Lo at 50, looking back against the backdrop of
So she's at the halftime of her life.
Halftime show.
Is that why they like put a slash between the half and the time in the title? Half, so people wouldn't think it was about
You wouldn't be confused.
Part of the Face-Off franchise. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
That's funny. And was it good? Recommended?
It was a little bit like state-run media of J-Lo, but it was interesting. Mm-hmm. A little long. Could have got down to an hour,
J-Lo
probably.
Has state-run media.
Yeah, yeah. but, you know, interesting look back at, you know, J-Lo's perspective on J-Lo. But that being said, so are we doing anything with the blocking idea? I feel like, sounds fun. I don't know if there's a podcast of blocking people.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I think it'd be fun to like block Jennifer Lopez on a podcast.
Should we block celebrities?
I would say. It's like, I think you punch up, you block up.
Yeah.
I think.
Well,
what
no, Josh, we're the, but our thing right now, we are looking to give, find a celebrity to give a lifetime achievement award too. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to like start smoke with any celebrities. So,
yeah, because then if we give it to like Mark Paul Gosselaar and then it's like, hey, I'm friends with
those guys guys have a bad reputation of blocking famous people.
Yeah, I don't know though. I mean, like, anything that you do in life is gonna come with the kind of risk that it's gonna get back to Mark Paul Gosselaar. So like, I don't feel like blocking famous people is necessarily protecting you from like needing to cozy up with Zach Morris in the future.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we're cowards ultimately. You know,
with Zach Morris and AC Slater.
Oh my God, that's going to be the Saved by the Bell fan fiction that I'm going to write later on tonight.
Or the slash fiction, given the slash in Face Off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, my mind is racing already. Yeah,
okay, I bet it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
By the way, number four. This from Edna. It's Rob and Akiva count to 1 million. She says Rob and Akiva spend the whole episode just counting to 1 million.
I think that would take longer than one podcast.
Way more.
I mean, 1 million is tough, but I do think Rob and Akiva count as far as they possibly can. Would be among the most listened to podcasts in the entirety of the Rob Has a Podcast.
You think
apparatus.
So? I feel like that.
Yeah. I would shut it off immediately, or roll to the very end.
I think that you would put Scoots on the ropes. I think this would be an incredible sleep podcast. Rob and Akiva are counting as far as they possibly can, or even a countdown if you would rather do it there.
Yeah.
And there would be a lot of people that would like regularly listen to that as they fall asleep.
Mm-hmm. Countdown from 1,000 might be something.
It'd be different. It'd be kind of avant-garde, sort of like Face Off 2 might be.
Yeah. All right. Maybe let's put that in the wheel waiting room.
Counting down? I think we would stress people out if we only count to 1,000, because what if we get to 1,000 and they're not asleep? That's depressing, right?
But countdown.
Yeah. That's right. 1,000. That's why you start.
What if we get to zero? That are we going to negatives then? Should we start from 5,000?
No, I mean, like, how do we know if the people are asleep or not?
That's, you go to negatives. You know,
I'm saying for them,
the
it's like depressing.
Negatives in the sequel.
Yeah. Okay. Josh, I do think that it could be very popular. Like, I watch a white noise. I have a fan noise video that I watch on YouTube or I listen to when I nap. And I was like, boy, this video has 38 million views.
Have you ever done Rob and Akiva take a nap? Like put the nap in Renap before?
Put the nap in Renap.
Now, what do we do there? Are we napping or are we putting people to sleep?
You sleep. Yeah. You just sleep on the podcast. In the pod, like you sleep talk. And so the sleep talking does like the traditional.
So maybe like this, like does somebody like tag in? Like I start the podcast with Akiva and then somebody else, like a guest comes in and then I go take a nap.
And then like honor system, or we could do live cam if we want. Yeah. Like we make sure that you are asleep and whoever wakes up first loses.
I take extremely like quick naps.
Yeah, you're
like,
a fast nap.
I nap in like 12 minutes. Like, I basically like. You know, close my eyes and then, wake up a couple minutes later.
Only for a moment, and then the moment's gone.
Yeah.
Akiva, are you a napper?
Yeah. I took a long nap today.
Long nap?
Every Saturday.
You're a deep napper. Okay.
Yeah. Every Saturday, I take a very long nap.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if there's too much excitement there for the listeners.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay. Was that 4 or 5, Akiva?
That was 4. Here's the last one. Well, the Bravo mechanism. This is from John. One John, not John John. One John says, Robin and Akiva watched 3 episodes of randomly selected Bravo shows like Real Housewives, not Top Chef, the reality stuff. Each time the mechanism is used, you watch more Bravo shows. Sorry. He wants us to watch Bravo. Robin and Akiva.
Haven't we done this?
Have we?
Feels like it.
What shows did we watch?
This feels like if I were writing a movie and Renap was like a part of the movie universe, like, you know, how they'll get like a news anchor to appear in like For All Mankind or something like that.
Yeah.
I feel like the fictional Renap episode would probably be this. It's like,
generic one. You're saying.
Mailbag veto and scrap this idea and hear another one.
I didn't know you had a mailbag veto.
Yeah. I just invented that, but I think I should get one.
Okay.
Every week.
Wow. Is this
every week? All right, fine. Yeah, that's fine with me.
179 episodes into Renap. Is this the first time you're talking about a veto in the mailbag? That's
a mailbag veto. Yeah.
No way. No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
A lot of people want to go to Omaha, by the way. I won't use it as a full idea, but a lot of people have ideas for Omaha. Mm-hmm. Josh, we want to send listeners. Meet me in the middle. We're going to send listeners from all over the country to meet in the middle of the country in Omaha, Nebraska. People are willing to go more than you'd think. The question is, what should we have them do there?
In the middle for a very long time.
We were about to do it right before COVID. So then what should we have people do?
Once they meet in the middle?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like what should be the shtick? Like what's the episode of the podcast?
How about, could it be M-E-A-T, meet me in the middle.
Maybe you meet at a Wegmans?
Yeah. A butcher.
Yeah. The deli counter. Again, but be careful with what you order.
Yeah. You know, go to an Arby's.
Yeah,
they have the meats.
They do. Yeah.
Is there an Arby's in Omaha?
I bet there's many.
You could have Mike and Liana come out.
There's an Arby's on every corner in Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
that's not bad.
The RBB. Yeah.
Yeah.
The RBB. All right. So there's one on 72nd Street in Omaha. There's a couple.
I guess I don't know Omaha very well. Oh, I'm envisioning that there is an Arby's on every corner.
Yeah, there is. There is. Yeah. Famous.
Yeah.
All right. Number five.
Number five.
This from Giovanni. He says, Rob and Akiva are hacks at life. Rob and Akiva explain their
life hacks. Omaha is loaded with Arby's, I just want to say.
Yeah. They've got
Rob and Akiva explain their life hacks to the net audience. You get a lot of feedback on Twitter. I want to combine this life hacks with vital information. What if we get Lori Beth Denberg on? Chappelle and Lori Beth Denberg.
Oh, my God.
And then we have the four of us, and then we, you know, the listeners give us some vital
life hacks, or this is going back to that
all
was
that.
That all that was the segment or life
all
hacks.
That.
Yeah,
all that. Going back to all that. I think we could get Lori Desk, Lori Beth. People ask her questions. Her website is askloribeth.com. She likes being asked questions.
I say let's give it a shot.
Yeah, I'd do it. Chappelle will be in.
If you get Lori Beth Denberg on the podcast, that would be a very exciting moment.
Yeah. I agree. The only thing is, with any sort of celebrity or anybody, like, it's weird to ask people outside, like, the little Renapaverse here come on our podcast, because it's like, hey, it might be next week. It might be a random Saturday in, like, February 2024. You know?
Well, let's wheel. If she's into it, let's wheel jam it.
Okay, fine. So let's you know, put it on tentatively. We'll have Chappelle or someone who's in touch with her reach out, and, you know, we could at least record it.
Is Chappelle in touch with her?
He might be. There was a lot of people got Chappelle cameos for Lori Beth, so they might be in contact.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll see.
All right.
Wait, they got Chappelle cameos for Lori Beth, so they got cameos from Chappelle to give to Lori Beth.
No, it's the other way.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about what's on the wheel for episode number. This is 179.
Yeah.
So 180 next week. Oh, okay. Should we watch Coach's movie 180?
Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
You can do a full 180 and just, completely change
reverse
the face
course.
Of Renap, especially after a face off. Like, what does Renap look like with the face off?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Should we sort of brainstorm that idea of Rob and Akiva pull a 180?
Yeah. What if it's not Rob and Akiva need a podcast, but Rob and Akiva want a podcast?
Want a podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Or, podcast a need.
Yeah.
Rob and Akiva.
Yeah.
Panar. Even Rob, even. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right.
Yeah, do everything in reverse. Do the mailbag first.
What if we pitch the ideas and the listeners decide?
Yeah, you do that. Like, you just totally.
Oh, interesting. Maybe that should we have a 180 mailbag next week where we come in with all the ideas and then the listeners tell us they vote up or down on what should go
good
on the
idea.
Wheel.
I like it.
Okay.
You start with the mailbag and then you finish with whatever the concept of the episode was.
We've tried that before. People don't like it as much.
We do have one episode on the wheel where we have to do that already, so it is a good idea.
Oh, that would work out. Okay. All right. Season 3, episode 7. I do not have access to the fishbowl right now.
All right. I'll figure it out.
Coin flip, crappy movie diaper, guest choice, the 2022 hot takeoff.
Mm-hmm.
Oops, all mailbag, listener choice. I literally just told you that would be that one. We have the watch a Bollywood movie with Sasha Joseph. Renappers Gone Wild. That's where Josh, we're going to assign like book reports to our listeners of every conceivable piece of media that has the word wild in the title.
Okay.
Movie Wild Things.
Yeah. If if you want to call Wild Things, Josh.
No, I'm good. I'll keep that one private. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Robert, if you need a new catchphrase. Rob and Akiva hit rock bottom, where we're going to watch the two worst movies from The Rock.
Okay.
Okay. Air Buds, also from the summer of 1997.
Wow.
Rob and Akiva are unhinged, where we're going to punch up people's hinge profiles. Okay. The naming convention, where we're going to try to help people name things. Rob and Akiva named that tune. Transform X. Josh, finally, we will watch all of the Transformers movies on 4X.
Oh, that's fun. Okay. That's going to be terrible.
We'll see. Who knows?
I mean, great for the listeners.
I can see the future, and it's not.
Podcast is going to be terrible, or watching
the
movie?
No, podcast is going to be great. Watching Transformers on 4-speed is going to be unintelligible.
I mean, I'd rather watch it on 4 than on 1. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You may as well not. You may as well not watch it at all. None of it's going to. I mean, listen, you could watch it on 1-speed, and none of it's going to make sense either.
More than meets the eye.
Yeah.
Four than meets the eye.
Watch the. Oh, that's what you have to remember to say. 4 than meets the eye. Yep.
Yeah.
4X.
Transform X.
4X meets the eye, as in, like, it meets me.
I'm the eye.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Then, the lying episode. Robin Akiva face off. We just did that. Wheel of Podcasters do not have access to that. Akiva said he was going to work on that this week.
I got a wheel of podcasters. Josh, you know the trick about the Wheel of Podcasters?
No.
So basically, Wheel of Podcasters, it's just a mechanism. It's not a full episode. If it comes up Wheel of Podcasters, we spin the Wheel of Podcasters. And then it'll say, like, you know, Sasha Joseph and Matt Scott. And it's like, if they come up, they're the guest automatically on the next week's on that week's episode.
Oh, that's fun.
And Rob's fear was like, what if someone's not on the wheel? They'll get offended.
Right. Right.
And so here's the trick. This is why I went to show business school. You don't tell anybody who's on the wheel.
Right.
Never tell
people. First off, my fear, my concern, Josh, was that you're going to have a wheel of podcasters and then nobody's ever going to be available the week that they come up on the wheel.
My idea was lifetime ban from RGP with Rob Nick.
Yeah. That was my concern. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. 180.
I think I would probably just say, oh, well, I spun the wheel and Sasha came up, and I would just be like, there was no wheel spin and I just want Sasha on the podcast.
I should trick people.
Trick people.
Sorry, Karen. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. You will not be able to hear the wheel sound effect, so I will just give it to you, my rendition of it. Okay?
Please.
Here we go.
That is what it sounds like.
Now he's farting at the Wegmans?
Listener's choice.
Oh, wow.
So
first one in a while.
Spin the wheel three more times for episode number 180. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Listener's choice. Spin number one.
A nightmare. This is bad noise.
Wheel of Podcasters.
that's a mechanism.
Yeah, it's so that's strange. Sasha Joseph just came up.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
That can't be on the wheel.
Okay. I agree.
All right. Let's go back to the thing. Spin again. Okay.
In theory, now that should be in one of these, all these. I don't know. No, that's in this one.
Naming convention.
This one. All right. So in the naming convention, the Wheel of Podcasters is on. If the naming convention gets picked, the Wheel of Podcasters is applicable.
No, just put the Wheel of Podcasters aside.
Okay, fine. Naming convention, we're naming stuff.
Number one. I think it's got a tough road to hoe.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. Spin number two.
Mm-hmm. Number two indeed. Road. God.
Oops, all mailbag.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Oops, all mailbag.
And number three. Oops, all mailbag is going to be tough if it's going to be us coming up with all the ideas.
Oh, no, we played ourselves.
That's going to be.
I would come up with 100 mailbag ideas.
I would highly encourage the listeners.
No, don't vote for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Thumb on the scale.
Yeah. Been hoisted by our own petard tonight.
Yeah.
All right.
Again.
Number three.
Rob gave us a knife and friggin' got stabbed by it.
Oh, God. What are the people at Wegmans thinking?
Oh, the crappy movie diaper.
Okay.
Yeah, that's appropriate.
Crappy movie diaper.
Crappy movie diaper.
All right, Josh, pick a number between 1 and 6.
4.
Weekend at Bernie's 2.
No. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so we got Weekend at Bernie's 2. Oops, all mailbag.
Yeah.
Has nothing ever won a poll before? How come polls are 3 and not 4, by the way?
Yeah.
How come polls are 3 and not 4?
That's more multiple choice, I think. Yeah.
I guess, because you can have 4 options in the Twitter poll.
So you got those options. Okay, well, it's going to be
Oops, and Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Okay. All right.
I'll say not a real favorite out there. I mean, no, they'll be good. I'm just saying none of them are like locked
maybe.
In. That's not what I'm saying. Usually when we do the listener's choice,
it's like there's one that's like, all right, we know what the
listener
is going to be an obvious runaway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's gonna the poll is gonna be like, you know 70-20-10.
Yeah, here it could be anything.
Yeah. Okay,
if the trolls want, we could do Oops All Mailbag, but that would be What if it's Oops All Mailbag, but then the mailbag is us pitching mailbag. So it's like them and then us.
It's going to be a shutout.
I like that.
I think Weekend at Bernie's 2 is getting shut out. I think it's.
You don't think it's getting any votes?
I think it's naming convention her mailbags.
And you're probably right.
Because I think naming convention is really fun.
That's a fun podcast.
But I think given what you said you would do with the mailbag for 180, like I feel like that's going to get some momentum for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Josh, I know you told us what you're working on in general, but you got anything big coming up this week?
Oh, this week. What do we got going on this week? Probably some naps in the vein of Rob Sesternino. I think something like that is probably going to happen. Oh, do you guys watch Only Murders in the Building?
Can I tell you something crazy?
Yeah.
Most recent hit in the mailbag that came in today. Hey, you guys should watch Only Murders in the Building.
Oh, that's fun. Well, if you end up watching it, let me know. We have a post-show recaps podcast launching really soon because Only Murders in the Building.
Can we play
two.
Who the hosts are and Rob and I guess the hosts?
That's kind of fun. That could be good.
The draft. Rob, you want first pick or next?
Well, what is the show?
Only Murders in the Building. It's a Hulu.
It's like a comedy?
Yeah, Hulu dark comedy, I would say. It's Steve Martin and Martin Short and Selena Gomez, and they are making a podcast about a murder that occurred in their building, and their rule about their podcast, because they're all obsessed with like serial style podcasts, including one that's created by Tina Fey's character in the world of Only Murders, their rule is they can only podcast about only murders in the building, nothing outside of the building. And so season two, we'll see how they're able to do it again. Yeah.
Okay.
I guess you'd have to be another murder.
Uh-huh. And so we've got a kickoff show coming later this week just to set the deck for Only Murders season two. And you don't want me to reveal who the co-host is?
I mean, I don't really want to do a draft.
I don't really want to do a draft.
I'm on it.
Unless
on
you
it.
Think it's a good idea.
Let's see. Is Grace there?
Grace is not on the podcast. It's one other person. It's someone who I've never done a regular podcast with before.
Oh, so you're one of the people on the show?
I'm going to be on this, yes. I didn't think this
merited a Wiggler appearance. We didn't know.
The thing that I'm most excited about is getting the chance. I'm just going to say who it is. So I'm really excited about this. This is a prolific Wandoff artist who I have never podcasted with before.
DJ LaBelle Klein?
Yeah, DJ LaBelle Klein, a.k.a. Castor Troy himself, shall be the co-host on Only Murders, and we will have a revolving door of guests joining us over the course of the season. I think Troy and I have to decide which one of us is Steve Martin and who's Martin Short, and then we'll have a rotating cast of Selena Gomez's joining us in the building. Going to be really, really, really fun. Troy's incredible. He's not just the first ever Wandoff finalist winner. He's also a very funny, hilarious, insightful person. And I think that the podcast is going to be really, really great. So when Troy wanted to do a podcast, and this one was the one that was coming up, this was very clearly like, yeah, I'll do Only Murders. I'll do Only Murders if I'm doing it with Troy. So that's the game plan. That's going to kick off this week. And we will, we'll have, episodic recaps starting, I think it premieres June 27th or June 28th, somewhere in that range, the same week that Westworld premieres. So it's going to be a really busy summer. We got a very busy summer coming up.
Some different tonal shifts from Josh Wiggler.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all the other stuff is still happening. We're talking Ms. Marvel, not Mrs. Maisel, over on the Everything is Super podcast. We're doing,
is there some confusion
still?
Of people like,
it was a thing. It was a little bit of a thing.
Yeah. Bester's downloading the Ms. Marvel podcast. Like, hey, where's my 50s stand up humor talk?
There's really just one. There was just one thing that it was a little confusion, but it's all resolved now. Everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So we're okay. Oh, and we're still doing Down the Hatch, believe it or not. We're ranking every episode of Lost. We're getting closer and closer. We're in the top 30 as of this week.
And then are you done with Lost at the end of this, or then there's going to be another thing?
I heard, Josh, confirm if this is true, that they're going to rank the ranking episodes after this.
Yes.
They're going to rank which episodes had the
ranking. I really wish that you didn't say that on the one that we can't edit. We can't edit this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you kind of blew it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, to be determined what happens.
Okay,
next.
TBD.
There's some ideas.
Cliffhanger.
There's some idea, some version of DTH.
And then, listen, that lost IP, that's coming back. It isn't going to be tomorrow because it's nothing's being made.
I was thinking about this.
It's going to be there soon, before you know it.
I don't know if this is actually in Disney's best interests to do more Lost. They've got so much IP.
Did they announce something?
No,
but it's going to happen.
Nothing wild that they haven't, though.
It's crazy that they haven't. There should have been three Lost spinoffs already.
Yeah. You know, it's funny.
Freaking Sawyer, what's he doing? He's doing nothing.
They're already doing the Jon Snow show. Like, it is surprising that they haven't tried to do, like, a Sawyer show or a Hurley show. I do think, like, a Disney Plus version of, like, doing the Obi-Wan Kenobi for certain Lost characters could be fun. But I don't think they're gonna. I don't think that they're gonna do that. I think that they'll do some other, like, wholesale reboot at some point in time. I just don't know that they need to, is, like, the thing. You know,
I mean, they don't need to do any of this stuff.
Yeah, but they've got so much Star Wars and Marvel and, other stuff that, like, I don't know that, like, is Lost going to be, like, a big moneymaker? I guess my hot take, and this is coming from someone who loves Lost, obviously, I think that they reboot Lost and it's a dud. Like, it's just, like, a noiseless return. I don't think, like, anyone's paying attention to it. Mm-hmm. There's too much content out there. No one's going to care about, like, especially if it's, like, just, like, a reboot from some random people. No one's going to care. I'll watch it. No one else is going to care.
Okay.
I think you're underestimating the Lost fans out there.
Maybe. I don't know. I think there's, like, too much competing for attention. I don't think that, like, the masses. I think the diehards will check it out, maybe angrily, too. But I don't know how much crossover mainstream appeal that, like, ooh, Lost is back. There's going to be a bunch of people are like, what's that? Who is that? It's been a long time. This is more than 10 years at this point. It's been a minute.
Okay. Well, maybe, I'll tell you offline. I don't want to put something out into the world.
That you can't edit. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right. Akiva, what do you have coming up this week?
So on 32 Fans, we had the 499th episode, which was, we decided we're going to try and figure out, because there's no football for 2 months, the song of the century so far, the best song of the 2000s. We had,
Can I ask some questions about that?
I'm able to answer all of them. Yes.
Okay. First off, how is it that you are doing a bracket when it is, let me check my watch, the middle of June? I don't understand. It's not bracket season. How are you doing a bracket?
Well, it wasn't supposed to be a bracket. It's somehow morphed into a bracket, but Chester says you could do brackets year round. That's one of his takes.
Yeah. And I agreed with you. The music was played for way, way too long.
Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about podcasts. Nobody should listen to me, and nobody ever should listen to my opinions. What do I know? But yeah, of course.
I didn't like put a podcast on to hear 2 minutes of a song.
Well, to be fair, the episode is called Song of the, Best Song of the Century. So
But if it's the song, give me like a 15-second clip. I don't know if it's the greatest song of all time. I don't need to hear the song.
Hurdle can get it done in 16 seconds.
Yeah.
You know.
Anyway, it was fun. I think we got nice response from it. Isaiah at April Bangers.
But was there another list? Did somebody like, why now? Why the greatest song of the century now?
I thought it was a funny bit. We're like almost a quarter way in the century. And also, like, I'm out of ideas. I don't know why I have two podcasts. We have to come up with three combined ideas every week or else there's no episode.
I have two podcasts.
Time out. You guys, come on.
The ideas are so hard.
Survivor, any TV recap. It's like, and I have this with New Girl. It's like the episode's on. It's over. You watch it. You talk about it. I'm the content.
Yeah.
I got to come up with what to talk
Josh,
about.
He has three lost, podcasts. Say, he doesn't even drive on any of them.
Oh, it's so hard really drive to be asleep at all. In the back seat of my podcast.
Yeah, from what my co-host does all the heavy seat. Lifting.
I'm more in the, yeah. Yeah, well, Ali, Rob, and Chester carry me.
I want that fan art badly.
Okay.
I want you on the thing that they're hoisting. I want to see that. I think that's great.
I interrupted you. What else you've come out this week?
Hopefully NGOG we will get to the between seasons movies and get back on the horse there. And then what else? Not much else. I said to multiple people today, I wish I could hibernate in July and August, because like there's so many late nights of football watching coming in September and October, November. Mm-hmm.
You need to
and like
up.
You get tired, and like I want to like sleep now and then not sleep those.
You're
whole
like
month.
A reverse bear. You want to hibernate mm-hmm. in the summer.
Yeah, because there's no football, and I'm just like, you know, waiting. You know, like Carrie Underwood things, like waiting all day for Sunday night. But it's like a Sunday night in September. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. like, I don't know now, what are we supposed to do in the summer.
Now, Josh, one thing that we did get a lot of feedback on last week was we asked the listeners of that we had been since we watched season 3, episode 7 of Doogie Howser, M.D. You know, mm-hmm. we had been typing up our diary entries of what did we learn today?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we said, is anybody even still listening to the podcast? Is this a popular segment? And by popular demand in our mentions, people said, yes, do it. Now, there was a poll on Reddit, though. Did we perform as well on the poll, Akiva?
Yeah, it did win. It was the three options were like, yes, it's mid or like, don't do it. And yes, one mid had a decent showing, but no, didn't really get any business.
Yeah. Yeah.
But on Twitter, it was all positive. It's interesting when people
which
put their names.
I do appreciate like you know, save your most scathing comments for not directly at me.
So are you? Mm-hmm. You're trying to debate whether or not this is going to be a thing that you do now.
No,
like,
but we've been doing it.
And we
it.
Want to know if we should continue. And I think people said yes.
But you know what? We do the recurring segments for the lovers, not for the people that say it's mm-hmm. mid. So, Akiva, are you ready to talk about what we learned today?
Oh, I am. Yes. You want me to go first? Okay.
All right. Sure. I don't have the sound effect to be able to. Actually, give me a second. Maybe I can bring it up on YouTube on my phone. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Sure.
Anything else you want to plug, Akiva?
Not really. I got to go to work in 7 hours.
Oh, okay.
I got to wake up. Josh, I wake up at the crack of dawn.
I know you do. I hate that for you. I do. Mm-hmm. I really do.
7:30. Mm-hmm.
You seem to make it work, but gosh.
It's... Yeah. Do you want to plug your company?
Yeah, they would like. No free ads, baby.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
Hold on. Doogie Howser blog. Yep. It really was. It was a blog, but that wasn't invented yet.
Is it just the theme song? Is that what you're looking for?
No, we have
at the end of every episode, he like types on the computer what he learned.
Right.
Okay. All right. Episode number 179. Today, I learned that when facing a face-off, it's the face you leave on that you're always facing in the mirror.
Wow.
What about you, Akiva?
What I learned today, some people say that podcasters all podcast out of their mom's basement, but the best shows are recorded outside of a grocery store in North Carolina.
Well done. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Wow. Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.